WTFR. Disclaimer. Disclaimer. This edition of Two's Company 3's Allowed, just like every edition of Two's Company 3's Allowed, is going to be very naughty. Disclaimer. Disclaimer. This edition of Two's Company 3's Allowed will contain bad language, condescension, mock value. Disclaimer. Disclaimer. If you are a little pussy bitch, you may not want to listen to this show. Disclaimer over and out. Going to be an interesting show this evening, ladies and gentlemen, because I bought a new mixer and it's a piece of shit. So what's going to happen is we're just going to deal with it. I'm going to be taking it back during the week and getting another Behringer. Even though the Behringers are crap, I've just recently done a bit of research and it turns out that if you spend a little bit more cash on one of the Behringers, it takes away all of the problems. So that's what I'm going to be doing. But in the meantime, this will get us through this broadcast with a bit of luck. In the second hour, we won't be using bad language, we won't be cussing or anything like that. What we're going to be doing is a child safety hour. So we're going to basically separate that hour from the rest of the show so that if parents want to download it for their children, they can, and there will be no fear of bad language or anything like that. It's something that's important. It's something that I do once in a while. And I think it's important, you know, given that my daughter was almost kidnapped off the streets when she got off the school bus. So we're going to be doing a safe hour for the little ones so that they can understand just how dangerous the streets can be. We also have with us this evening a guest. You know him as Giuseppe. Giuseppe Vaffanculo. does a show over there on Revolution Radio, but also does the perfect triangle when it comes to the YouTube as well, where we're going to be speaking to him also. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Two's Company 3's Allowed, brought to you live by the one, the only, WTFR, where thought is free radio. I'm your host, Sean. With me it will be Malefica Sentius, as always, and we're also going to have Giuseppe from The Perfect Triangle having a discussion this evening about a great many things. Let me first just see if the mixer's functioning correctly, because it really is a piece of crap. Do we have you there, Maleficus?
You do, although with very poor sound quality.
It's terrible. It's absolutely terrible. Like, the sound-to-noise ratio...
It's not up to your usual scratch, old boy.
No, you know what? I was talking to mates tonight, and we were doing some... afternoon. We were doing some tests, and I said, no, there's a hiss there. And she was like, Sean, there's no hiss. You know, you're hearing things because you're too particular. And I was like, I know, I'm too particular. But then when she actually listened back to a recording, she said, there's absolutely a hiss there. And I went like, yeah. I said, this is not up to scratch at all. So what I'm going to be doing is taking this mixer back and replacing it for another Behringer. But I'm going to pay a bit more money this time so that we don't have that little squeal in the background when it comes to the different channels. But it'll be well worth it, and it'll be better in the long run. Apparently, the model that I'm going to be going for lasts a hell of a lot longer than what these other Behringers have been lasting. They've only been lasting about 4 years. So, just not happy at the moment. So, ladies and gentlemen, I do apologize if you're hearing a hiss through your headphones or your speakers at the present time. Just bear with us. I mean, it's about the information, not as much the sound quality for you. For me, it is.
No, I was going to say, I can't hear any hiss, but it's definitely, you can hear that the sound quality isn't as good as it normally is. So, yeah.
Well, when you hear the recording, Maleficus, you will hear the hiss. Once Maiden listened to the actual recording of a test we did, she said, oh, there's definitely a hiss there. It's a bit staticky. It also picks up phone noise. You know, when the repeater is communicating with the phone to ping the phone, you can hear it go, right. And I'm thinking, you motherfucker. So what happened? Uh-huh. That never happened with the Behringer. So I'm just going to go back. It'll be Tuesday that I go back. I'm going to have it replaced. I'm just going to say, look, I don't want a refund. I just want a different mixer. If I have to pay more for it, then I will pay more for it. But yeah, this is unacceptable. Audio engineering is my life. So if it's not working correctly, then I'm not happy. Hey, Giuseppe, do we have you there, sir?
Yes, I'm here. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, you're more than welcome. It's good to have you. Hopefully you're not hearing too much of a hiss through your headphones.
No, it's not too bad. I'm curious, what mixer did you purchase that you're dissatisfied with?
It's the, Tumix 8 Pro. Cost me $500. Maleficus chipped in as well. So, which helped out, of course, but, our money's going to go to something better once I return it. I wouldn't go near it. It's just the sound to noise ratio is terrible. I've got the gain up full. Just to be able to, for you two to be able to hear me right now, and I dare say that's where the hiss is coming from in the recording, as you'll hear after it's done.
Oh, wow, that's really, I wonder if you just got a poorly manufactured model, or is it systemic to everyone they make? I wonder what.
Well, you know what, I'm just not going to go and get another one, because where I purchased it is literally probably 2.5 hours away. So, you know, I'm just not going to make the same mistake. I'm just going to get get my hands on another Behringer. I'll pay a little bit more money for a later model of the Behringer. And that way we can keep the show going and keep it clear. We had to miss the show last week because the Behringer that I had crapped itself. So, yeah. But anyway, let's introduce you, Giuseppe, because there's not a lot of people that understand who you are when it comes to this network. Like, we've had you on a round table, and that was a great thing. But on the same token, we've never had you on individually. We were also going to have Brutal Honesty and Scorpio on, but they couldn't make it at the present time. Scorpio's been wiped out by weather, and Brutal Honesty has... some stuff going on behind the scenes that he's got to take care of. So right. Let's introduce you at least, and so people can get to know what network you're at and also the YouTube channel that you run. So the YouTube channel, let's start with that. What are you doing over there?
Well, nothing, because we've been in YouTube jail. We got our second strike about... 6 weeks ago, and they still haven't let us back in. And so What we do now is we're on Twitch, which is a gamer platform, but they allow you, they don't censor you, and they allow you 2 weeks worth of shows, and then they delete them. So we're at Twitch TV, Giuseppe Vaffangulo. We're on Twitter, and we're on Facebook. Believe it or not, Facebook doesn't censor us so far. So you go to Facebook.com/ThePerfectTriangle. That's on the video side of things. On the worldwide radio, just like WTFR, we're with Revolution Radio, which is a 10-year-old platform started by a gentleman named Mike Ringley, Nighthawk, who sadly died about a year and a half ago. And his vision, he was a prepper, and he's also formerly, you know, trained in the military with, so he saw what was really going on, and he created a free speech platform, trained in broadcast technologies and things and programming and all that. And so he created Revolution Radio, and he's it's blossomed into two stations, Studio A and Studio B, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year at either revolution.radio or Freedom Slips. It reads like Freedom's Lips, but really when you look at it, you see it more as freedomslips.com. And they just revamped the website. It's got a nice, clean, more modern look, and you can they broadcast via a Skype platform, which I believe you do as well.
Yeah.
And so it's a real, you know, there's almost 100 hosts, and some you might really like if you listen to me. There's Scorpio, there's Chris Weinert, there's another fellow who's really creative out of the West Coast, Jimmy Jean. And then there's other people who are a little more woo-woo and all that. And, you know, you just got to, with that many hosts, you're going to find some you love, and you're going to find some that I'm never listening to that again. But all in all, it's really cool for 10 years. With the level of censorship, my God, you know, we need free speech platforms like WTFR and Rev Radio and some of the others.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, that's, I think you hit the nail on the head when you said, you know, because you've got so many hosts, you're going to love some, you're going to hate some. And that's just the way things are, you know. But the way I look at it is the ones that you don't like, just switch them off and go to the ones you do like. The ones that the ones that you can agree with and everything like that. I've had to listen to Revolution Radio since you tuned me into the two studios. And I've enjoyed some, and there's others that I've just gone like, bleh. So,
yeah, exactly.
You know, and it's the same with to WTFR. When people come to listen to the 24/7 lineup, some people might listen to Eustace Mullins, others might not. Some people might listen to TCTA, and others might just go bleh. You know, they might vomit at the way I do things and the way me and Maleficus do things. So yeah, it's just a matter of choice. It's a matter of free speech. It's a matter of free listening. Not forcing any one thing down people's throats. I mean, obviously, I mean, if it comes to something like child molestation, then that needs to be forced. That's where we have to force people to realize that it's not a good fucking thing. You know, it's all about getting rid of that as much as we possibly can. So there are certain issues that need to be forced out of society. No doubt about it, if we catch wind of it. But other than that, like when it comes to, you know, having your own free way of thinking and saying, well, no, I don't like this, but I like that. That should be cool. You know, I'm all for freedom of choice as long as it's not harming others, pretty much.
Or animals, right? Yeah, exactly.
You
know, I got to say, we met at the end of last year when we were part of a roundtable with the great Blackbird 9, who sadly is taking a break.
Yeah.
But I'm a huge fan of what you and Maleficus do. I tune in every week, and I'm a tremendous fan of the legacy of Eustace Mullins. I just think that you're doing a great service to humanity by sharing his many talks. And you know, I've read several of his books, and that guy was just fantastic. He really understood what was going on.
He's a true legend. There's no doubt about him. Especially my favorite book of his was Murder by Injection. And not just because of what's going on now, it's just been my favorite book of his. It had so much interesting information. It was one of Michael Tsarian's books, that actually led me to murder by injection. You know, a lot of people don't always agree with Michael Tazarian, and that's okay, but there's one thing you can't refute about him, and that is that he's got a lot of great reference value. So when he writes a book, he puts references all through that book, and if you don't like him, you'll find a lot of the books that he references are great in themselves. So, yeah, no doubt about it. Hey, Maleficus, what say you with what we're talking about?
What about the broadcasts themselves? By the way, Giuseppe, nice to hear your voice again, mate. It's yeah, it's good to catch up again.
Yeah,
really good. No, I mean, I think the whole thing with the... I'm actually in the middle of writing an article for Candor to do with the alternative media broadcasting, because, you know, we've got at the moment... even my own father, right, he'll say, well, I've got a balanced view of things. I don't just watch BBC News, you know, I watch Al Jazeera as well. And I'm like, yeah, but, you know, like RT over in Russia or Deutsche Welle over in Germany, it's all, I've probably not pronounced that right, but it's all those particular news stations are just the propaganda arms of the government.
Yeah.
And then when you step outside that, you're then looking at six corporations controlling the other 95% of the world's media, you know? So the point I'm making in the article, or will be making in the article, because it's not finished yet, is the fact that there are so many good alternative broadcasting platforms out there, particularly radio-wise. I mean, I find radio really useful because I can download a podcast or whatever and I'll take it to work. As you guys know, I work as a gardener. So I can take it to work, and while I'm cutting the grass or cutting hedges or pulling weeds out of flower beds, whatever, I can be, it's such a mind-numbing job that I can be focusing on more important things. And it's such a useful medium to have for me. And as I say, you know, I know the printed word. I know Colin Todd at Candor is very, very fond of the printed word, as you would expect. And he even said, you know, I think it'll outlast everything else. When the internet's gone, we'll still have the print, you know, which is quite right. But as far as, you know, we're not going to get any sort of TV broadcasting going, not without serious outlay. But as you say, all right, you've had to buy a new mixer or whatever, but the outlay for broadcasting over internet radio or just standard radio is an awful lot less, and it's a lot more accessible to people like us who like to do our homework and like to put that message out to other people. So yeah, I really enjoy not just being a part of, but being able to delve into and listen to this particular avenue of media. I mean, I love Andy's shows, you know, Andrew Carrington Hitchcock. I love his shows, particularly, and I'm not a hugely religious person, but he has a chap on called Dr. Peter Hammond, who does absolutely wonderful talks. He's a wonderful studier of history, and he has a good understanding of historical events, and I really, really enjoy listening to that, despite the religious aspect, you know. So yeah, it's such a good platform. It really is. It's such a good platform. It's the best platform I think we've got at the moment to reach out to people.
I think it's a great platform, and I'll tell you what, you made a really good point there, and Giuseppe, you might want to comment on this as well, is that, you know, you said that it's not just a great platform to be a part of because, you know, it is a good platform and that you get to know people. One thing I've noticed about this platform is that you get to know good people and people that do think for themselves. Now, when I was working for the mainstream, all I got to know was cockheads. They were all cockheads. No, I'm serious. Like, you would walk in and they would be like doing their political correct shtick, as Le Happy Merchant would put it. They'd be doing their politically correct shtick. And oh, you know, and I'm a vegan and I'm this and I'm that, and I'm, you know, and I'm like, I just don't give a fuck what you are. Why do you have to keep thrusting it in my face? They were just total cockheads that had to impress at all times. oh, Sean, guess what I did today? And guess what I, you know, it's like the Facebook mentality. Oh, I changed my baby's nappy today. Why do I give a fuck whether you changed your baby's nappy? It's none of my fucking business. Why are you writing that there? You know, I mean, it was just a, so when they permabanned me, I was quite happy never to come back again, and I haven't. But in the alternative media, I've met good people that think for themselves. They don't have to wax politically correct. And they're not hurting people in not waxing politically correct. You know, Giuseppe's not politically correct. You're not politically correct, Maleficus. I am definitely not. And we still get along and we can slap each other on the back and have a beer and stand around the campfire. Hell, we can even debate until the cows come home. We can get... you know, verbally vicious and still at the end of the night say, here, let's have a beer now that we've had that good debate, which is with the politically correct, you can't do that. You know, the leftists, they're always vehement when it comes to, oh, you don't agree with me, Sean, so I'm going to just want to kick your ass. I'm saying, hold on a second. You know, you as a leftist, that are saying that you're vegan and everything because you don't want to harm animals, but you want to kick my ass because I dare to disagree with you? You're a fuckhead, pal. Why don't you come and try and kick my ass? So I just, you know, I've met so many good people, Jimmy X, Giuseppe, yourself, Maleficus, Scorpio. I've been listening to a lot of Chris's shows as well recently, and I'm just, like, I'm astounded on how deep he can really go with a lot of what he does. And because I've listened to Scorpio's and, of course, yours, Giuseppe, as well. But I've been listening to Chris's more lately because he takes things in a different angle, sort of like Robert Ravolt in some ways. So,
yeah,
just really interesting stuff and really interesting people compared to anything you will find that comes out of the mainstream media.
Hey, did either one of you guys ever read the seminal science fiction novel Dune by Frank Herbert back in the day?
I did not.
Do you know what I'm?
No.
A long, well, long time ago. Yeah.
Oh, you mean the one that was based on the movie?
In the books and the movie, they have a human computer. They call them Mentats. You know, their brain has been altered, so they're like the assistant to the. Duke Leto, you know, everybody who's in power has a Mentat, a human computer. And to me, I joke and I say, Chris, you're like a real world Mentat. That dude has an uncanny ability to read, you know, hundreds of thousands of original source history books and retain so much of it. And if you watch on the, when we're doing shows, Scorpio and I and Chris have pretty much teamed up as a trio for much of this stuff these last few months. And, you watch him, he's like scribbling notes because he's furiously, you know, going through his computer like brain. Oh, yeah, I want to say this, this, this. It's really amazing. He's a really, really a rare and amazing fellow.
It's certainly a talent to be able to do that while keeping track of the conversation as well. Because I know sometimes Sean will play a clip or Sean will be off on a rant. Sean, you know, on the rare occasion that Sean has a little bit of a rant, I will I will be there sort of scribbling down notes, but at the same time I'm trying to listen to what he's saying as well. So it's quite a talent to be able to do that, especially, you know, I know myself from my sort of historical studies and stuff, I have conversations with people and they're like, how do you remember all this shit? And it's just like, well, I've just spent a long time on it. But at the same time, you know, while there's another conversation going on, I find it really difficult to bring those thoughts to the fore. So that's definitely a talent he's got.
Yeah,
it's too bad, but he'll definitely come on again. But I'd like to address the excellent point Sean just made about this political correct bullshit. If you think about the history, it was a cancer introduced by the Bolshevik internationalist Jew, you know, into higher education, what, maybe 50 years ago, the 70s, it started to show up a little bit in like the Ivy League schools with this political correctness bullshit. And now it's metastasized, so it's become virtue signaling, and that's stage three. And now stage four cancer is everyone's a special snowflake, and everyone's so precious, and everyone has the feels. Oh, I feel so much, and you can't say that. You're an angry racist. You're an angry anti-Semites. So what they do is these supposed educated cockheads are really at a wisdom level, at a maturity level, at a psychological level, at a spiritual level. They're like 8-year-olds or maybe 10-year-olds, and they can't debate like adults, you know. I don't have to agree with anybody, but I respect, number one, I give the same respect that I expect to receive. That's one of my fundamental core values. And I can talk about anything with anybody. And if you expose to me that you're stupid or you're mind controlled, I don't spend a lot of time with you. But if someone is like back when I was younger, I was a progressive until I discovered who's really controlling the progressives. And now I have nothing to do with it because it's, you know, it's Bolshevism. It's the internationalist Jew parasite. And but I could talk to my friends who were hardcore right wings, and we loved each other. We'd known each other since grade school, and we could discuss as adults. We'd be drinking beers, drinking shots, and we'd find common ground. And ultimately, you know, that's how actual mature adults function. You don't see too many mature adults anywhere. You see millions and millions of cockheads.
Yeah, you know what?
Snowflakes.
I'm glad you brought up the fact that you saw them as like 8-year-olds, because it literally is like school ground epithets being thrown at each other when you have something to discuss. It's funny because in the alternative media, and by saying the alternative media, ladies and gentlemen, I don't mean the alt-right. They are totally separate to us. They are nothing like us. All right, the alternative media came out way before Richard Spencer and all of his cronies, just to make that clear. But to get back to the story, when I meet people of the alternative media, they're not that leftist BLM, on the school ground. They are really intelligent people that are willing to sit down and debate with you viciously, verbally viciously, if they have to, but can still stand up at the end of the day and shake your hand and say, Sean, you know, we've had a really good debate. I don't agree with everything you said, but I've agreed with some of it, and that's enough. So that's what I mean by the interesting people we're meeting in the alternative media. As you know, Giuseppe, Maleficus and I can come to head sometimes where I'll be saying, no, Maleficus, I call bullshit and I'll tell you why. And then he'll look at me and say, no, Sean, no, that's crap. And I'll tell you why. But at the end of the day, at the end of the show, we both shake hands and say, you know what? That was a really good debate. Don't agree with everything you said, but that was a really good debate. And that's important that people can do that. This is what created white Western civilization.
Yep.
It's well called said, healthy well debate. Said. It's healthy debate. And I think also, I would argue, rather like I always say about how credit cards are really debt cards. And, you know, I would argue that actually we are the politically correct. And it's the snowflakes that have just got it all wrong.
You know? Yeah, when politics was once a correct thing, it's no longer now. So, yeah, you could sort of look at it that way, kind of.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that we are correct politically, you know, and this is just them twisting things and putting it on its head, you know. With regards of people like you saying, Giuseppe, you saying about them being 8 years old, this is this whole thing about being offended, isn't it?
Yes.
And I don't know whether you guys, I know I've sent the clip to Sean before, but I don't know whether you guys have heard of a comedian
Just remember, Maleficus, remember the coined term, that Jimmy X come up with. It's called the professional offendees. So yeah.
Yeah. My friend in Germany, whenever I referred to, the Jews over there, he calls them, and he's not hugely well read on the alternative history. He was brought up in Germany. He's been indoctrinated against the real history.
Yeah.
But he calls them the professional victims, you know?
Professional victims. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Professional victims. Yeah. With regards of being offended, though, I've just sent you a clip, Sean. You might want to play that at some point while we're on this subject.
Yeah, well, I'll take a look at it during the break. We're coming to that break now, ladies and gentlemen. Giuseppe Vaffanculo. We've also got Maleficus, of course, and myself, Sean Surplus. We'll be right back after this break. Stay tuned.
This program contains material which some audiences might find objectionable. We suggest that you use discretion while listening. After all, you have free will and can turn it off if you don't like the content. So, if you choose to listen to the entire program and then write us to complain that you were appalled by what you heard, you can blow it out your ass. You were warned. Thank you.
Black raven in a cypress tree in the dead of the night, just for looking at me makes you wonder if he's got it out for you. 'Cause your heart starts pumping and your hands go blue, but this woman said she could make me a star by drinking what she had in her mason jar.
Back in 1973, Dr. William Pierce was talking about the downfall of our planet and politics. I wasn't even born then, I was born in 75. If you want to know what's going on in the world today, then by all means, get on over to tctaunleashed.com and have a look at our schedule. Have a listen to Dr. William Pierce, whom was going for years and years and understood exactly what was taking place when it comes to Judaism. Tommy goes to confession and tells the priest, "Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. I have been with a loose woman." "Is that you, Tommy?" says the priest. "Aye, it is, Fire." "Who was it you were with, Tommy?" "I'd rather not say, Fire." "Was it Bridget?" "No, Fire." "Was it Carlene?" "No, Fire." "Was it Megan?" "No, Fire." "Well, Tommy, say 4 Our Fathers and 4 Hail Marys." When Tommy gets outside, his friend Pat asks him how it went. "Terrific," says Tommy. "I got 4 Our Fathers, 4 Hail Marys, and 3 great leads." Choose Company 3 is loud. With you, Giuseppe Vaffanculo, a guest of ours at the present time. We've also got Malefica Sentius, of course, and myself, Sean. Now, before we go any further, I just want to quickly read out those other streamers that are covering us. TuneIn Radio, MyTuner, Listen Online Radio, Radio, Radio Streammeter, StreamFinder, Radio Garden, as I always say, my favourite, Live Online Radio, and Streamer. Thank you to those that are streaming us across the globe, by all means. Also, do it for me. Come on, Maleficus.
The hippies.
Yes, yeah. The hippies.
Thank you, hippies.
Yes, as always, they love it when we give them a tilt of the hat, and we love them for getting us out there, by all means. So, yeah, we're talking with Giuseppe at the moment from Revolution Radio. Now, the website for that, that's revolutionradio.com, if I'm not mistaken, Giuseppe?
No, it's revolution.radio or freedomslips.com, which reads like freedoms, plural, lips.com.
Oh, excellent.
Either one takes you there.
That's great. I have it bookmarked, so I just click on it, so I don't actually look at the link. I've been slack there lately, you know, I've been in and out of hospital, as people know. I've got to literally go in for another venesection as of this Wednesday. So Tuesday I'll take this mixer back and I'll get it the new mixer. And I've got to go in to get another 400 mils of blood taken out of me because of the overload of iron. I've got hemochromatosis. Just been crazy, absolutely crazy. We did 14 rooms in the motel yesterday, cleaned 14 rooms. So just been go, you know. So I do apologize for getting things wrong like that. Like, I didn't mean to get it wrong when it comes to Revolution Radio's website.
Oh, no, that's we just correct each other. That's what real truth tellers do, right? I mean, there's no problem whatsoever.
Oh, good stuff. Yeah, no, it's good to have you. And it would have been great to have Brutal Honesty on and Scorpio, but I don't know what location Scorpio is in specifically, but so he got some bad weather.
Yeah, he actually left the United States about 5-6 years ago, and purchased an organic coffee farm right at the butts up to the deep jungle of Ecuador. And they do, they have run out couple months ago, they ran out a fiber optic cable. So he does have high speed internet. But the thing is like what happened. Actually, it's more like 6 months ago. Time blurs. But what happens, like, if somebody's trimming trees, they cut the cable on him, and that took 3 days, and you don't know because he doesn't have a phone. Everything's Skype. And he did say earlier in the week that it's the rainy season now, so if he drops out, you know why. Yeah. So that we had a great show lined up yesterday. We had on his show, Operation Scorpio. So my show is The Perfect Triangle, which is Friday nights Eastern. And in Australia, it would be, I believe, Saturday mornings. Yeah. And then Scorpio's show is Saturday afternoon, which would put him at Sunday evening. And we had Paul English, the author of Hellstorm, Tom Goodrich, and the publisher, David Gaharie. And Scorpio was all fired up. And I'm thinking, oh, God, I'm kind of tired. It's been a long week. I'll just kind of sit back, and Scorpio, you know, loves these guys, and all of a sudden, no Scorpio. So I do his whole show 3 hours myself. So that's always interesting.
You know, but, I can relate.
Paul English is a nice person to speak to, though, isn't he? He's a real gentleman.
He's very humble, yeah. And I can relate to what you're saying when it comes to the weather, because I live in the Alpines. When we get the floods here. For instance, I was living in Myrtleford at one stage, and I'm just about 4 kilometres away from Myrtleford now. But I was living in Myrtleford at one stage, and the flood waters come through so quick, your head would turn. Seriously.
Oh, I understand.
Oh, and it was terrible because it took our internet down, took our phone lines down, the whole lot. So basically, it was like... we were walking home from the supermarket, and I said, "That water? Where was that water coming from?" That's, and then it started flowing towards our house. And I said to my stepbrother, "I said, oh, holy crap, that's heading to our house." So we ran home, and we started like trying to safeguard the house just in case it did. And sure enough, it only took 10 minutes, and it was up over our doorstep. So, yeah, that sort of weather can really screw you up. So. Okay, yeah, in Ecuador. Yeah, I thought you were being facetious when you said that in Skype.
No, it's true. Yeah.
Oh, there we go. So he's got a coffee farm. Well done. Good stuff.
Yeah, organic too, which is even better, right?
Yeah. Yeah, really nice. Really impressive. Yeah, okay. So, look, gentlemen, I've got a whole heap of articles that we can discuss here if you want to like the boxing great Marvin Hagler dies, or Hagler, depending on how you pronounce it. According to reports, he was in ICU on Saturday after taking the vaccine.
Yeah, they murdered him. I mean, they're murdering lots of people.
Yeah.
Well, of course, this is a depopulation. This is a culling. And they've been telling us about it for literally for decades. I mean, if you read the Rockefeller Foundation report on the phony made up threats of these global pandemics, which your listeners may not know, my early career for the first 10 years out of college, I was a professional journalist. And then I burned out on that because there's, like you said, a lot of cockheads and a lot of people who play the game. And I got tired of being censored even back in the 80s because I'm a pretty old guy. And so then I went into other things, and my midlife career choice, big change, went back to school, and I became a doctor of oriental medicine, trained in acupuncture, master of oriental medicine, master of science of oriental medicine, bachelor of science in Eastern and Western nutrition combined. And for the last 15 years, up until a year ago, when I closed my small holistic healing practice, because I refuse to wear a mask, and I will never wear a mask. So, but it's amazing the lies, man. When you start to understand the power of nutrition, the power of natural healing, the power of supporting your own God-given immune function, as opposed to this literal satanic agenda to drive people into these maiming and deadly vaccinations, which I call quaxinations, because going all the way back to the apocryphal joke of Sir Edward Jenner, who the fiction is that he saw the milkmaids in England. And the udders had cowpox, so they're not getting smallpox. And then he saved an 8-year-old boy because he created a smallpox vaccine. That is absolute apocryphal bullshit. The truth of Edward Jenner is he was obsessed in his arrogance to create a smallpox vaccine. He kept working on it. He never developed it. And in the process, he killed his 21-year-old biological son and his 20-year-old stepson testing on them. Because the thing about smallpox is it's an episodic virus. And you can even argue, does virus even cause disease? That's a fascinating discussion in its own right.
Yeah.
But essentially, smallpox crops up. It crops up, then it does its thing. You know, it spreads like a wildfire. And then it burns out itself. It's, you know, no vaccine has ever cured smallpox, has ever eliminated smallpox. You know what these fucking weasels, corporate weasels do? They rename it. They call it monkeypox. They call it Hillary Clinton pox. They call it Neil Ferguson pox. All they do is rename it. They never get rid of it.
I agree.
Neil Ferguson pox.
It's the same. It's the same as polio. You know, polio's episodic in itself, where it'll pop up here and there. And whether I don't know whether government bodies are doing it or not, or whether it's the Morgans, the Rockefellers, or the Rothschilds, but making it happen. But the thing is, you know, if they're storing it in vials, but the thing is, it's episodic as well. It pops up here and there, and then it burns itself out. It's its own destructor. And not a single vaccine has ever done it. Now, I've spoken about the captain so many times on air, and one of the things, we were sort of back and forth in debate with him about it, and I said, because he had polio and it disabled his right arm. Now, it comes through feces. Polio actually comes through feces. So
that's what, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what happens is, I was sort of like, no, Captain, you don't understand. You like, just because you've got it doesn't make you a professional on the subject. You might think the vaccine was actually stopping it, but what it was they just kept those that didn't have it away from those that did, and that's what helped wipe it out to a certain degree. But also, it's its own self-destructor. It comes in, it goes. It does its job and it goes. So now, some people would beg to differ with that. They would say, well, then how come the quarantining has been working with COVID-19 or the flu in general? And I say, it hasn't. Have you looked at the fucking numbers at the present time? People are still getting the fucking flu, even though they're quarantining. So why, when they say COVID-19, if you go outside, you're going to catch it, rah, 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 but they're still getting the flu. They go shopping and they get the normal flu strains. The media won't talk about it, but they're still getting the normal fucking flu strains. They're sniffling, they're coughing, they're sneezing, rah, rah, rah. It's just the media.
As they should, because that's natural immunity, man. You hit it. You hit the nail on the head. You know why there's never been a real pandemic, fellows? You know, there was the Black Plague and there were other ones. Well, even the Spanish flu is a scam. Did you know that was created by the American military? They were testing vaccine, yeah. and it they lost control of it all.
Well, and also a lot of those military men, if I can add to what you're saying there, Giuseppe, this is great stuff. I love this conversation. A lot of these gentlemen had never left their shores. Now, what the military were saying when they were injecting these people, like, oh, we're going to inject you with this and we're going to inject you with that, they were creating new viruses through that. People can look up Eleanora McBean's exposés. And she's proved beyond doubt, with logic and common sense. You can't refute it. Oh, we've come up to another break. But yeah, look, beyond doubt, they hadn't even left their shores. And they said, oh, they're coming back with the diseases. And then they realized, hold on a second, they never left their shores. It was what they were being injected with. Ladies and gentlemen, the cunt of the week is just about to come up. We'll be right back. Malefica Sentius, Giuseppe Vaffanculo, and myself, Sean. We'll be right back. One of the hardest things to do is to wake up from your historical slumber. And what I mean by this is the fact that you've been taught by one thing within your indoctrination centres, your schools, and now you have to wake up to a total other. It's not an easy thing to have your eyes open, but stick with it and you'll not be able to turn back. It will be all worth it. So you've never heard of Andrew Carrington Hitchcock? Get on over to andrewcarringtonhitchcock.com and have a listen to Andy himself and Paul English, among many guests that they have on the broadcast. You will get to know exactly what's taking place in this day and age, rather than what you hear from your bullshit mainstream media. Have a listen.
Have said time and time again, don't take, and Sam, you said it on this very show, don't take what we say as scripture. Don't take what your government says as scripture. No matter where you hear something, go out and do your own research.
Yep.
And this is something you will never ever hear that man or that man in the Armani suit or that woman in the beautiful red dress on the mainstream and corporate media say. You will never hear them say it because they don't want you to do your own thinking. The moment.
1650 AM, Tonawanda, New York.
107.9
FM.
WTFR.
And now it's time for the cunt of the week.
Who are you fucking calling cunt, cunt?
Yeah, what did he say, cunt?
He said, you fucking cunt.
Well, you fucking cunt. Who are you to say to him that he was a fucking cunt?
Well, what do you fucking think, mate? I'm fucking defending my fucking self.
Well, no,
I?
He come up to you, call you cunt. That's fair enough. Well, he said, you fucking cunt. And you said back to him, you fucking cunt.
Well,
what do you expect him to say back, apart from you fucking stupid fucking cunt?
Well, I don't expect nothing, do I?
He's a fucking cunt. Yes, he's a fucking cunt.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. The Cunt of the Week Award is here and now. We've got with us Giuseppe Vaffanculo, and we've got Malefica Sentius, of course, and myself, Sean. And Malefica, I just don't know who the Cunt of the Week belongs to this week because we had to miss a show.
Have been me because it should have been you last week. But Caesars, you missed out last week due to technical difficulties. I think really, in all fairness, it should be your Cunt of the Week.
No, I would rather you. You're like, you've got a lottery of cunts. So
I have.
I would rather you go ahead with yours, and we just continue from there. Because I tell you what, I've got a lot of cunts myself. But the thing is, I haven't put any detail into a specific cunt of the week. As you know, I've got to go away 3 days a week now for medical reasons, and I come back, and then I've got to work and everything like that. I just haven't put any detail into a specific cunt. So, if you've got some detail
well,
there, go right ahead.
My cunt of the week, then. It's a cunt lottery for me. I get to choose it nearly every week at the moment. This is great. Okay, this is an easy one for me. My cunt of the week is Dr. Mary Ramsey, head of Immunisation and Public Health England, who said that the basic measures of social distancing and wearing masks may have to be in place for many years.
Ha, ha, ha.
She's a cunt.
No, she's a cunt.
Complete cunt. And we knew that this was on the cards, but she's the one who's been paid and had enough money shoved up her fucking rectum in order to come forward and say, yes, I'll declare that it's got to happen for years. So, yeah, she's the cunt of the week, as far as I'm concerned. Although it would be polite, since we have a guest here, to allow Giuseppe to nominate anyone that he sees fit as well. I think that's only fair.
I do too. I do too,
yeah,
Giuseppe.
Oh, yeah, I have a good one.
Go on, let's hear it, Giuseppe.
The World Health Organization scientist who claims that no one is dying from the COVID-19 vaccination.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yep.
Who is this?
I don't have the person's name memorized. I read it earlier in the week, and they claim that no one is dying from taking this vaccine, when in reality, they're at, in the U.S., 100,000, because I don't know if you fellas know of something called VAERS, V-E-R-S, Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. It's right. It was set up decades ago to try and track it may have been well-intentioned, it may have been a deception, but try to track all reactions to the vaccine. But there was recently an audit by Harvard that found that less than 1% of all adverse reactions of vaccines are actually reported, because it's a very difficult system for the layperson to use, and the medical personnel are pretty much fear for their jobs if they report. So less than 1% of the audit results. So right now we're just about at in the U.S. from the Moderna, the Pfizer, the Johnson & Johnson has, on the VAERS system, has killed 1,700 people. So you just multiply that by 100 times, and you've got about 170,000 people murdered by this quaxination in 3 months, less than 3 months.
I love that, by the way.
I mean, we are up to 526 in the UK, and that's on the official, what we call the yellow card reporting system. 526 deaths directly related. That is within 24 hours of having the jab.
I love that, by the way, Giuseppe, the quaxination. I think that's one of the you've coined a term that we'll be holding on to for a long time, and we'll give you credit for every time we
use
say
it. I did create it. And I want to get back to your brilliant point before the break, which is you pointed out the misunderstanding of quarantine. Historically, do you know why there's never going to be a true global pandemic unless it's a bioweapon intentionally released to kill billions? And there's nothing you can do about that. But in the wild, these so-called viruses that suddenly crop up, like the bubonic plague, do you know why there'll never be that again? Three reasons. Number one, sanitation. Back then in the Black Plague, the world you know took a shit in the gutter. They peed in the creek. You know, there were Ebola and all kinds of E. coli, rather. Everything was everywhere. And once they started to have functional plumbing and sewage, totally solve that problem. Secondly, nutrition. As long as you're well fed with good food, your immune system is up to the task.
Amen.
Of marginalizing anything. And the third reason is the proper implementation of quarantine. You did not quarantine the healthy. This was a malicious and malevolent event. It was a psychological operation. It's slave training, along with those toxic and deadly masks. You quarantine the sick and at risk, and you allow the rest of the population to go about its business. And just like you said, every year there's flu, there's colds, and that's exactly how nature works. We're all integrated into a holistic system, and you're supposed to catch it, you're supposed to process it, and then you develop antibodies and you're breathing them out, and other people, pretty soon everybody's immune to whatever's going around that year. Isolating people, you're creating the possibility for them to actually get sick with something nasty. So this is all intentional. This is all satanic, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah.
I think you've hit the nail on the head. I want to reiterate what you've just said. In actual fact, I've sent my daughter back to school last week, where finally the schools have reopened here. I mean, and I'm just, I don't really see the fucking point now, to be honest. I think the only reason they've reopened them is because they don't want parents educating their children.
Yeah,
but
that's exactly right.
I'll tell you what, my kids have got quite the education since we've had the lockdown. But My youngest has gone back. She's 10 years old. She's gone back, and within a week, she's come down with a nasty cold. Why? Because suddenly she's interacting with all this flora and fauna that she's not been able to interact with for fucking months.
Right.
So
exactly.
Her immune system has gone through the floor, so she's got sick at the drop of a hat.
Yep, you got it.
That's what's going to kill people. It's going to be the fact that I always look at the immune system as a muscle. And if you don't exercise a muscle, it doesn't get big. So you've got this immune system that has been big for all of your life. Then all of a sudden, you're not allowed to exercise it. Well, it becomes this puny little shit thing. And it can't do its job properly anymore. It can't lift the weight, you know? That's the way the immune system works. You've got to allow it to work that muscle. I don't care whether it's whether people think COVID is real or whether it's not, or whether a flu is real or whether it's not. The thing is, I've never been vaccinated in my life. Now, I work at a motel. We just did 14 rooms, right? And I'm picking up tissues, snot rags, and I'm putting them in the bin. And I'm not using gloves or anything like that. There is disinfectant.
You better hope that's all they are.
Sorry?
Says you better hope that's all they are.
Yeah. Oh, geez. Don't.
It's all right. It's all good for your immune system, Sean.
It's not
it
good
is.
For...
Right, right.
But there's what you
some
said
women
is...
who save it and use it as face cream. So.
you two have just brought it to a new low. All right. So...
there's no such thing as a new low on this show.
That rhymed. No such thing as a new low on this show. We should make that a break. Anyway, what happens is, I'm picking up snot rags and all kinds of things, and I'm not wearing gloves. I don't bother with it because I'm not worried. You know, I mean, we have to disinfect everything, so there's a possibility that the disinfectant getting around us is helping as well. But I'm telling you, when you're working in a motel, the chances of catching a flu are very high. Now, how come in the whole time I've been in that motel, picking up snot rags and all sorts of shit and putting it in the bins and rah, 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 I haven't caught a flu? I'll tell you why. It's because I've never been vaccinated. And as you rightfully said, Giuseppe, a good diet, good food. Good food can make all the difference. If you're bringing in huge amounts of vitamin C through oranges and mandarins and all of that, and fruits and even vegetables, some vegetables contain a lot of vitamin C. When you've got
red
good...
peppers, those big, not the hot peppers, but I forget.
You mean
what,
the capsicums?
Yeah, capsicum. Those are great for vitamin C.
They really are great, and I love them. I eat them raw. I eat them like an apple, like I'm watching
too.
A movie.
Yeah,
like I'm watching a movie, and like a movie snack. Same with, oranges and mandarins. My daughter and I love our fruit and veggies. Well, when you've got a good immune system, as you said, a good diet, you've got a good immune system. So... And even if you get a cold, like occasionally if I do get every year flu, it whacks me on the head for about 3 days and I'm back up and running. It just lasts bugger all. We're coming to the second hour, ladies and gentlemen. The second hour is going to be a clean hour. It's not going to be bad language. Giuseppe, if you're going to be sticking around, we're going to be talking about child safety. So it should be a good discussion. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Second hour coming up. FM here in the Alpines of Australia and 1650 AM Tonawanda, New York.
I don't think I want to know a 6-year-old who isn't a dreamer or a silly heart. And I sure don't want to know one who takes their student career seriously. I don't have a college degree. I don't even have a job. But I know a good kid when I see one. Because they're all good kids. Until dried out, brain dead skags like you drag them down and convince them they're no good. You so much as scowl at my niece or any other kid in this school and I hear about it, I'm coming looking for you. Take this quarter. Go downtown and have a rat gnaw that thing off your face.
WTFR.
Welcome to Two's Company, Three's Allowed, with your host from the land down under, Sean, a.k.a. Surplus.
Sean, a.k.a. Surplus.
Dissecting the latest news on the issues that invade your privacy and take away your rights as we move closer to a one-world government. And finding solutions alongside you, the listener, to fight against the new world order. And now, here's your host, Sean.
Yes, top of the second hour, ladies and gentlemen. Two's Company, Three's Allowed, brought to you live by the one, the only WTFR, where thought is free radio. No, it's not what the fuck radio, it's where thought is free radio. But if you want to call it what the fuck radio, yeah, we'll let you off. Because some people listen to this and go, what the fuck? You know, it's just the way it is. With you, Maleficus Sentius, Giuseppe Farfangulo, and also myself, Sean Surplus. Talking up a storm, as usual.
Clean way to start the clean hour.
Yeah, no, I'm going to have to do that in the third hour. I just totally fucked that up.
I wasn't going to say anything.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Yeah, no. Oh, I'm going to have to make a disclaimer on the notes as well, just in case the parents want to play the full show in some way, shape, or form. Oh, what did I do? That's TCTA.
Way to go, Sean. Way to go.
I know. You know what? I'm gonna put this third hour. I'll put it in the third hour, and I will totally... I will totally put it in its own page, its own web page, because we can't have that. Dear oh dear. Sean, dear. Come on now, what are you doing? It's so easy to do.
That could almost have been scripted. That was that silly.
It's so easy to do. You know, I mean, if you take a look at the show we did with Bryza, I didn't drop one F-bomb because knowing it's somebody else's show. But when it's my show, I'm like sitting there going, I can do whatever I want. Nobody, it's like that little child in me going, no one can tell me what to do.
Well, there you go. Now you're going to have to take yourself outside and have a word with yourself, aren't you?
Oh, big time. No, that's not cool. That's not cool at all. Well, at least we warn people. All right, let's continue our conversation in the meantime. Vaccines. I want to get back to the expose, by the way, Giuseppe. When it comes to Eleanor McBean's expose, if you look at, I think it's chapter 2, if I remember correctly, she spoke about how these dudes hadn't even left their shores. So the military and the government were actually saying, oh, they're coming back with diseases, so we're going to have to vaccinate their families because they're giving these diseases to their families. And they started vaccinating everybody. And when they got the diseases from the vaccinations, they created more vaccinations that created other diseases. And it just went from there. Same sort of thing that was going on with the 1918 flu pandemic. You know,
it was
pretty crazy. So, I don't know whether you've read her exposés, but she was a fascinating person. The information she gave with reference value, it just couldn't be refuted, but people refused to see it.
No, I'd like to get those links. I had not heard of her. I would really like to.
I'm just working on it, actually, as we speak. So
Maleficus, it's whale.2, as in the whale, like the fish, W-H-A-L-E.2.
It's in the chat room.
Well, whale.2, and they will be able to find Eleanora McBean's exposés there. She's passed now, of course, but the thing is, the information she had was second to none. So, yeah.
Her parents were treating people, weren't they? And they hadn't had the vaccination. I seem to remember that's part of it.
Well, see, and I've never been vaccinated. Getting back to that point as well, I think, Giuseppe, you'll be interested in this. I've never been vaccinated in my life, besides one, if you call it a vaccination. It was the tetanus injection, because when I was a boy, my mother was convinced that because I stepped on a rusty nail and it went through my foot, she said, oh, I'm going to have to get tetanus injection. But she didn't realize tetanus doesn't come from rust. It comes from soil. So,
right.
Yeah. So what happens is she rushed me to the hospital and got me this injection. And I had ended up with this huge lump in my arm that grew out to the point where I had to go back to hospital. That's how bad it was. So, but other than that, I've never been vaccinated, and I rarely get the flu. Now, getting back to the story in the motel, I was talking to the boss, and I said to her, she was making the bed, and I was doing the main room, and I said straight out, I said, the reason I don't get sick is because I haven't been vaccinated. And also, there's another part to this as well. I'm active. So you see, a good part of the diet is not just food. A good part of your life diet is activation, getting out and being active. So I ride my bicycle everywhere. I've never had my license. I walk everywhere. Me and my daughter walk and ride everywhere. And we just don't get the flu. I've seen people down the street that are sneezing and coughing and everything like that, and I just don't cop it. I don't catch it. I might be a carrier of it, but I don't get any of the effects of it. So it's not just diet when it comes to food, ladies and gentlemen. It's also a part of your diet should be good exercise, you know, keeping active, even if you're a fatty, right? So for instance, like I talk about the big fat fucking fatties that can weigh a bus over. But like on the Flintstones scenario where you see the thing tip over. But even those that are fat can still be active. As long as you're active, even if you're fat, you can still fight off a flu. You know, as an old elderly woman once said, somebody said to her, how have you lived so long? I think I could be wrong. Shield Maiden can correct me on this, because I'm pretty sure she was the one who sent me the link. I think she was 101. And they said, how have you lived so long? And she said, give me some whiskey. You know, so your diet should consist of good food, good being active, you know, feel happy being active, you know, even if you only walk around the block each day, it's still, you know, you're looking at the flora and the fauna and you're enjoying the outdoors and everything like that, you know, good mentality, but not just that, happiness in that, don't be afraid to have a bit of alcohol to make your head sort of like, oh, I feel pretty good today. All of that works together for the immune system, in my opinion.
Yeah, I would also add to that by saying that fresh air, just getting out. This is another thing that's satanic about the whole, you've got to stay inside and you can only exercise for an hour a day. Fresh air is vitally important.
Yeah.
I work outdoors a lot. I mean, that is my job. My jobs for the last God knows how long have been largely outdoor jobs. And colds and flus, it's like water off a duck's back to me, because you get out there, you fill your lungs and your sinuses full of fresh air, and there's all those natural pathogens in there that are helping fight all these things, you know. So vitally important is fresh air.
Yeah, and vitamin D, you know, getting out.
Yeah, sunshine, right.
Yeah, getting out in that fresh air. You also get vitamin D.
That's with the masks as well, isn't it? You're not getting fresh air if you're leaving a mask over your face outside.
That's
you're wearing, as Sean would say, a Petri dish on the front of your face.
Yeah.
I would say Petri, but there we go.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we've got to have a good diet in every way, mentality-wise, skin-wise, everything wise, you know, everything you can do to be, and again, like I do cut up on the fat fucking fatties, you know, the ones that get on the bus and the bus tips, I do. But the thing is, it doesn't mean that they can't do something for themselves. They are still able to remain active and remain diet friendly and everything like that. You know, you just got to be, you know, everything in moderation if you can help it. And if you're one of those people that, you know, you've got the genetics where no matter what you do, you're going to be large. Well, then, look, just still get out there. Get the vitamin D. Get the fresh air and get the good food, as Giuseppe was saying. It can work for everyone. And the immune system will pick up pretty goddamn quick.
Right. I mean, physiology is an amazing thing. There's such a wide variance in. For example, I have I'm half Sicilian, half German, and my Sicilian Nana, she was a little bowling ball, 5 foot tall and, you know, just about as wide, and she lived to be 95. So, I mean, she never ate crap. She cooked all her own food. She got out.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's not every, some people are just, that's their physiology, you know, it's nothing they can do about it.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about it. No doubt about it. You know, the only problem I have with the whole fat community is this, is that the ones that are actually getting fat because, just bear with me, gentlemen. Yeah, the only thing I have against that whole thing is that the ones that are actually going out of their way to just eat, and they just can't stop, then I've got a problem with it. I'm like, no, this has got nothing to do with genetics. This has got to do with the fact that you won't stop eating too much.
Well, that's a food addiction, right? That's a whole different thing, right?
It really is, yeah. It's like my alcohol addiction. You know, people say to me, you know what, Sean, you know why you drink too much? And I say, yeah, I'm an alcoholic. At least I can admit it. You know what I mean? It doesn't make it right, but I admit it. I say straight out, yeah, because I'm an alcoholic. And they go, oh, shit, I didn't expect you to say that. And I'm like, well, yeah, I'm not one of these people that's drinking, and they're going to say, well, oh, I'm not drinking because I'm an alcoholic. Of course I am. You know? So people have to admit it to themselves, and they have to someday address that problem. I mean, someday I'd like to think that I'm going to address my alcoholic problem. People just have to come to grips with the fact of what they are and deal with that shit. We've got a caller. I'm pretty sure it's Adrian. Adrian, is that you?
You're spot on. Oh, you're spot on. It's me.
There you Adrian. Go. How you doing, sir?
Hello, Sean. Good evening to all the listeners. May I just ask how your tooth is now? You had a very bad toothache when I last was on the program.
Yeah, well, it's still pretty bad, but it's like I've got a little, you know, I've bought some cloves. So what I do is I take a cotton bud, I dip it in the cloves, and I put that in the hole of the tooth, it alleviates it somewhat. So it's nowhere near as bad as what it was. It numbs it like an anesthetic.
Mm.
Yeah.
Is it hard to get a private dentist in Australia? I mean, are dentists easy to come by, or are they hard to get hold of?
Yeah,
they are over here quite difficult.
They're really booked out. So it takes them months and months to get you in. And then when you finally get in there, they want you to watch this video that says, you know what, this is how you have to brush your teeth. Oh, it's all kinds of fun, Adrian. You know, they think we're children. Yeah, literally, yeah. When you finally do get in there, you've got to watch this video. So you pay for just the consultation, just to watch the video. That costs you quite a bit of money. You then have to come back to get a teeth cleansing. And then you have to, and you pay big money for that. And then you come back and you pay bigger money to get the deal done. So, but at the moment,
What does an extraction cost you?
It's going to cost me quite a bit. I don't know exactly how much yet, but it's going to cost me quite a bit because I'm a grinder. I grind my teeth, so it'll probably cost me something like $600 because I've got.
That is a lot, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, because I've got to get a few teeth out, and they're going to have to replace them with, I guess you could call false teeth, I'm not sure. But yeah, no, very painful, but the clothes have been helping out, no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How have you been, sir?
Off your subject. Have I taken you from your subject you were speaking about? Taken you away from it?
Well, we've been talking about vaccines and stuff like that, and the vaccines have been killing people all around the world, and the media have not been touching on that. We've got a special guest, Giuseppe from Revolution Radio. He does a show called The Perfect Triangle. Giuseppe, give yourself a brief introduction to Adrian, one of our common callers.
Well, it's great to meet you, Adrian. Revolution Radio. How are you today?
Sounds very promising. I think we could do with a radio station like that here in England.
Oh, well, Revolution we broadcast Radio, worldwide. In fact, one of the management team is, her name is Willow, and she's in the UK, and we have about five or six people from England and various parts. I think there's an Irish person as well who does a show.
Oh,
so
nice.
I would highly recommend you check out revolution.radio or freedomslips.com. I'll put it in the chat.
I'll put that down then.
Yeah. If you go to the chat, I'll put it in there.
Right. Thank you. There was something I would quite, well, you might, maybe I could bring up with you, Sean, might interest you, about Australia.
Okay.
I was going through some of my old files, and I remembered that I had a nice pamphlet called March of a Great White Policy, White Australia. And it's dated about 1926, I think. And I didn't know whether you knew about it. Australia, the white man's land, is what it says. And on the left-hand side is the Governor General, I think, a picture of him, and another prominent man on the right-hand side. There's a picture of Australia in a frame. And in that frame, the actual picture of Australia with words in it, which I can't actually read. They're too, my eyesight's too poor. But the Australian nation, Advance Australia, it's called, or the slogan rather, is Advance Australia. And it's the whole thing is headed March of the Great White Policy. I wonder if you knew about this.
Yeah. The White Australia.
Why you'd abandoned it, really, as I was coming on to ask.
Yeah. The White Australia policy was abandoned by once the leftists, I guess you could call them, as the Americans would say, came into power. Once you got the two political parties, the Labor and Liberal parties, they abolished the White Australia policy, which was working perfect for Australia.
So, of course it was, yeah.
Yeah, you had the Aboriginals keeping to themselves and you had us keeping to ourselves, but we only allowed white Western Europeans to come to Australia.
That's right.
And what happens is... If I remember correctly, it was 1973 where the White Australia policy started going bye-bye, and by 1975... they sealed the fate, and that's when mass immigration of third world countries started coming to Australia, and that's what destroyed us. You know, I mean, you take a look at like I was saying to you not long back, you take a look at Sydney and Melbourne now. You know, and quite often you're walking down the street and it's like sort of thing going on. Yeah, it's terrible. It's absolutely terrible, and and then, some people are starting to whinge and say, well, you know, they're buying up our country. They're stealing our country from under us. And I've said, yeah, and you were a part of it. You were one of the... You were a part of that whole thing because you were like, oh, I want to be politically correct. I want to be diverse like everybody else because otherwise everybody else will frown upon me. So then everybody became politically correct and they became so-called diverse, even though diversity is the opposite to what they think. To be diverse is to try and maintain the differences between colours and everything. So if you wanted to be diverse with different paint colours,
yes.
Well, then you want...
You want sorry.
No, that's fine.
You want global diversity is a fine thing, but within state diversity is a bad thing. It causes great tension within the state, and it loses a sense of direction because there are so many competing ethnic groups pulling in slightly different directions, and often the opposite direction.
Well,
but
see,
it causes great tension within state, but global diversity, which is what is really important, is lost once you go down the path of state diversity. It's state diversity we should oppose, I think.
Well, what they call diversity at the moment, Adrian, over here, is when we all start mixing. Diversity should be, the blacks should be with whites, and whites should be with Asians, and Asians should be with blacks. And
yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. That's state diversity. It happens within Australia, within Britain, within every European country. But global diversity just respects the different parts of the world which have their own nations, sort of, who've been living there from time immemorial. That's global diversity.
Understood.
As you go around the globe, you find different peoples. Now, you can go from France to Britain to heaven knows where, Australia, for example, and you'll find the same kind of mix of population as you would find, in the East End of London now. In other words, you lose global diversity once you go for within state diversity. Perhaps that's not the happiest phrase, but what I mean is within a given country, diversity is fatal to the population, indigenous population of that country.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know, I'm all for, I always do the paint analogy. I sort of come up with it for my children so that they could understand. You know, you've got white paint, you've got pink paint, you've got black paint, you've got green paint, you've got blue paint, so on and so forth. Now, when those paints, when you want a white house, then you're going to need that white paint. You don't want to be mixing the blue paint with it because it's going to start looking like light blue and everything like that. And that's sort of where I go with this. It's not, if you want a light blue paint, okay, cool. Maybe you want your own planet as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
But I always say this. When we start breeding with other races, we're not just wiping out our own, we're wiping out theirs as well. Now, as I've spoken about time and time again, my biological brother is married to a Filipina. And I say, you know what? You haven't just started to wipe out your race, you're wiping out hers as well. You're creating a totally different race, all right? A totally different race that is mongrelized. Mm. It's not necessarily intelligent. It's probably more intelligent than the Filipina race because it's got some white blood in it. But you've mongrelized that race, and you need to stop that. So, and I'm not biased in any way. I even said it straight out to my biological brother. I said, you need to stop that. That's not cool with me. He understands it. I mean, and he doesn't like my ideas on that. But that's what we're doing. So, in the end, it's the Kalergi plan, you know.
But before you get onto the Kalergi plan, the point is diversity is being removed on the globe, isn't it? If every state on the globe was diverse, there would not be global diversity, would there? Because they'd all be miscegenating in each state.
That's right.
And within 100 years, there wouldn't be global. So what I'm arguing is it destroys global diversity if you encourage within-state diversity.
No, you're absolutely right. Let's get your thoughts on this, Maleficus, and then we'll get Giuseppe's thoughts on it.
The example I always give... Hello, Adrian. It's nice to hear your voice again.
Hello there.
The example I always use is if I want to go and visit India, I want to go and sample Indian culture and look at their heritage and enjoy their country for what it is. I don't want to go there and have a fucking McDonald's. You know, I want to go there and have a, like when I went to visit Thailand, I went to, we stopped off in Bangkok for the first few nights we were there. And I went and had some street food. It was only a holiday. I wasn't moving there, Sean. Don't worry. I went and had food that was prepared on the street, you know, and it was real Thai cuisine. It was great. Absolutely fantastic. What a brilliant experience, you know. And, you know, I did. I worked for a season over in Crete many years ago. I took my guitar over there and played in the tavernas and the pubs and stuff. And I was astounded to see all these British tourists queuing up for a bloody McDonald's. Just, it was beyond me. I couldn't understand why would you do that. And I'm totally with you, Adrian. I think global diversity, God-given global diversity, is a wonderful thing. I want to be able to go to India and experience India.
You don't want to go to Manchester and experience the same, do you? You don't want to have to go to Manchester.
No, exactly. That's exactly what I was about to say. I don't want to go and visit London or Manchester and experience India. Why would I want to do that in my own country? I don't understand why people can't see past this whole diversity is a good thing. I don't understand why people can't see past that. You know, it is eroding our cultural heritage. That's it.
Yes, yes. In which case, can I suggest that all British people send a card to the palace, because I believe the palace has now taken a New Year's resolution to improve diversity at Buckingham Palace. Well, that's the last thing I want to see. And I think at least a few of us ought to write and let Her Majesty know that the move to diversity is not welcomed by a lot of her subjects.
Yeah, I think that's a jolly good idea.
Send a postcard. Don't get into a long argument. Just say, please, no more diversity. We've got enough already with Meghan. Something very simple like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They've got Meghan for diversity. It's caused him huge amounts of trouble already, isn't it? That will run and run for years to come, that Meghan business.
Adrian, I believe that this is part of the end game on the whole protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion, because they wanted to destroy the credibility of all monarchies and all governments around the world in order to bring in their own. And they're making a right mockery of all the world governments at the moment, because most of the public can see through the fact that they're all being governed by Gavi and the World Health Organization. No governments are governing themselves anymore. They're being told what to do by a corporate entity.
Yes, well, so, I think Israel should also get a mention in this. Israel is not welcoming diversity. It makes sense for Israel to, if you like, to refuse to be diverse, and at the same time encourage others to be diverse.
Yeah.
They very much, Zionists very much encourage diversity in England, France, Germany, all the rest of the world, but they don't encourage it within Israel itself.
Yeah.
And that is a significant fact, and it's a very important fact, I think, that you've got in diversity, they excuse themselves from diversity, whereas they recommend it to everybody else.
It very much relates. It very much relates to what Andrew Carrington Hitchcock says in his intro, which is, if you want to know those that are in power, and those that, how does it go, Maleficus, where he says,
to understand who rules over you, yeah, learn who you're not allowed to criticize.
Yeah, exactly. And it relates to that, because
when
those that are saying, we want you to be diverse, but we don't have to be diverse, it's the same sort of thing. It relates, those that you can't criticize.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Giuseppe, what do you think, mate, on the whole global diversity?
Henry Ford, about 100 years ago, put out the Dearborn Informer and wrote excellent newspaper after excellent newspaper, warning of the internationalist Jew, right? That's the globalist bankster, the Rothschild family now. And I think that to add to the point that Israel doesn't want diversity, well, the internationalist Jew is not pushing for diversity in China, nor Japan, nor Africa. They just want to destroy the white European heritage countries, because they understand that we are the one force that could wipe them off the globe, and we should have long ago.
That's why
they're doing diversity, and they're weaponizing these hyper minorities like the lesbian who took the hormones to grow a beard in Minnesota, who's the Antifa spokesman.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought, Giuseppe.
Dick Levine, who's now
Hold that thought, dude. We're coming to a break. I couldn't get my voice over there for a second. You're absolutely right. We'll get back to this in just a moment, ladies and gentlemen. Two's Company, Three's Aloud. We'll be right back.
This program contains material which some audiences might find objectionable. We suggest that you use discretion while listening. After all, you have free will and can turn it off if you don't like the content. So, if you choose to listen to the entire program and then write us to complain that you were appalled by what you heard, you can blow it out your ass. You were warned. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you feel the need to donate to TCTAUnleashed.com, by all means do so. It's not that I need the money to keep the network going, it costs me bugger all. But I need beer. So if you want to send me a beer, send me $5 or $10 here and there. Cheers. Enjoy the show.
Absolute morality, the absolute morality that a religious person might profess would include what? Stoning people for adultery, death for apostasy, punishment for breaking the Sabbath. These are all things which are religiously based absolute moralities. I don't think I want an absolute morality. I think I want a morality that is thought out, reasoned, argued, discussed, and...
Smoking Gun. Yes, that's right, ladies and gentlemen. Two's Company, Three's Aloud. With you is a special guest, Giuseppe Vafangula. We've got Malefica Sentius, of course, and our caller, Adrian, and we're discussing up a hell of a lot of information here, but not just that. I want to say, gentlemen, too, just to reiterate to the ladies and gentlemen, yes, this mixer is not great. I've already had a couple of messages coming in saying, Sean, your voice sounds like crap. I'm like, yeah, I know. The thing is, we're going to be taking this mixer back and getting another Behringer. I'm going to pay a bit more money for a better Behringer this time. So just bear with us. I hope that the recording will be good enough. I mean, I'm sure it's not going to be terrible, but it's going to be terrible to me because I'm an audio engineer. I'm going to be listening to it and I'll be gritting my teeth. But for you... that don't mind listening to like a sort of radio type deal, then I'm sure you'll be fine. Anyway, yeah, Giuseppe, let's get back to your thoughts there, you know, when it comes to the International Jew and all of that.
Well, I think that when you understand who the real enemy is of the white tribes of European ancestry, you figured all out. There's a great meme. I should have had it ready. I could have put in chat where there's a professional bowler. A picture's taken of him just as he releases the ball. You know, he's got that big swing, the legs kicked out, the arms raised high, and the bowling ball. The bowler has the label. the internationalist Jew, the bowling ball captured in midair is blacks and Muslims, and the pins are labeled decent society. And that's exactly what is going on in every white country right now.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You know, Maleficus, you were talking about, you know, white Western – oh, no, it might have actually been you, Giuseppe. White Western civilization just being brought down to its lowest – it's just being brought to its knees. Every other third world country and everything like that is just being looked at as if it's the greatest thing on earth. You know, one of the things that's really pissing me off lately is seeing these young white girls getting up there with the fucking niggers. It is pissing me off to no end. You've got these young, cute white girls that are, they think it's, see, to them, it's just cool to be with a nigger. Oh, look at me, I'm with a big nigger and everything like that. And because that's, as Dr. William Pierce said all those years ago, you know, it's been made, it's been glamified. So they get out there and they're holding hands and God knows doing what else under a bridge somewhere with this nigger. And this big ape thing is just taking advantage of the fact, oh, look, this little white girl, I've got this little white girl. You know, he's twice the size of her because you know how big the African-American Negroes are and the Somalians are. And they think, oh, you know, oh, yeah, look, he's so big. And so, you know, and it's sickening. We've even got it going on in this town. We haven't just got the overabundance of homosexuality and bisexuality going on because it's made to be the new cool in school and it's been made to be the new cool on television and movies. We've got this whole niggerification going on and it's just disgusting. You know, when I see these big niggers with these young white girls that look half their age, even though these niggers are probably about the same age, but because they look like fucking gorillas... they're hovering over them and like bleh, sort of thing. I'm like, you've got to be fucking kidding me. Now, where are the parents in this? So, like, for instance, if one of these fucking big ape looking fucking gorilla things came near my daughter, I would be like, get the fuck out of here, man. Get the fuck out of here. You even come near her that way, you're fucking done. Now, my daughter wouldn't accept it. She would. There's no chance she would accept it because I've educated her well. I'm a proper parent. I understand what's fucking going on here when it comes to the forced diversity, you know, the forced races on other races and everything like that. And then all of a sudden these young girls are like, yeah, I want a nigger, right? Dude, I'm telling you, oh, man, it angers me to no end when I see this. Go ahead.
Sorry, I was going to say, to add weight to what Adrian came in on, which was the white Australia policy.
Yeah.
You know, I think the Brits even now have to prove that they have some sort of measurable skill in order to emigrate to Australia. They have to have something, they have to have some sort of permit to say, oh, that's how it used to be just a handful of years ago. I don't know whether it still is. But if you were a British citizen over here, you had to earn enough points with the Australian government in order to emigrate. Yeah. So you had to have some sort of skill that was needed. I.e., you could have been like a doctor or a nurse or you had to have some sort of skill of measurable worth. And you also had to have enough what they call points in order to be able to get in. You had to have enough money to be able to support yourself if you didn't find work for something like 3 years in the bank. There were all these sort of restrictions put on for anyone over here in the UK. But
Same with US. Same with the Americans. In fact, for us, you can't be over 55 if you want to go and become an American expat in Australia. You have to be under 55.
Right. It's probably the same here.
Yeah.
I'd like to interject quickly.
You've got China. Sorry. Yeah, carry on.
Oh, I'm sorry. I cut you off. Go ahead.
No, that's no, mate. It's fine. It's absolutely fine. It's a pleasure to have you on, man.
Oh, I just wanted to make Sean's point, which why are the parents putting up with it? Because the global it's not entertainment complex, it's global entertainment, and every commercial is a black dude with some beautiful white woman, and it's all part of the mongrelization that the internationalist Jew wants to destroy Europeans, because they know this is like a blood libel feud with those inbreds since the Roman days.
You're not wrong, Giuseppe. You're not wrong. You just hit the nail on the head. You know, the whole parent thing is what pisses me off the most. See, it pisses me off to see this big fucking negroid hovering over this young, beautiful girl to no end. There's no doubt about it. When I have to look at that, I'm standing there and I'm keeping my mouth shut, because otherwise I'll end up in fucking jail again. So what happens is I'm standing there, I'm keeping my mouth shut, and I'm thinking, you've got to be fucking kidding me. This thing that looks like it's just about to go, right, is hovering over this young-looking girl, you know, like this 17- or 18-year-old girl, and she's like all giggly about it because her parents didn't do their fucking job. Like, if their parents actually took their thumb out of their ass and said, no, that's not going to happen, how about you stay with your own race? How about we continue our own race rather than wiping out their race and ours? And not to mention having this low IQ fucking ape hovering over you. You know what? There's not a single person that I've spoken to when I talk about this in this town that hasn't agreed with me. Every one of them, because there's this one particular girl getting around. Of course, I'm not going to name her. That would be disrespectful. But there's this one particular white girl getting around with this fucking ape thing. And straight away, like, everybody's just saying the same thing. They're saying, I can't believe the parents aren't stepping in on this. You see, the girl doesn't know any better. She's young. You know what? I was young and dumb and as dumb as dog shit when I was fucking 20. And I needed some guidance, you know. So why aren't the parents guiding her in the right direction? Why aren't they saying, no, don't do this? You know what I mean? There's you can find a white boyfriend anywhere, you know, so that you're not wiping out their race and you're not wiping out yours. But not just that, you're not mixing with this low IQ fucking piece of shit. And one of the arguments I always put forward is this. He's not going to be becoming a rocket scientist anytime soon. And then when people say to me, well, what about you, Sean? You're not a rocket scientist. I say, yeah, because I don't choose to be. But I help create radio stations all over the world. All over the world. You know, Shield Maiden just said to me tonight, or her afternoon, she said, straight out, she said, Sean, I think what you need to do is start making your own audio mixes, because these mixes that are made in China now are starting to fail us. And I'm like, yeah, absolutely. They are failing us. And she said, you could make your own mixer. And I said, well, I would reverse engineer a mixer that I already have, and then I would put it together, because Jimmy X and I, we go out and we repair like bowling alleys and all sorts of things. I understand electronics, the whole lot. I could actually do it. So what? Stop typing to me in chat, because the fucking mixer's bringing the sounds in, you bastards. So what happens is, and I'm not waxing angry at them, ladies and gentlemen. We have a bit of fun in the background. But anyway,
he is. I'm brutally offended.
He's brutally offended. So what happens is, look, I'm just sick to death of seeing it. The parents need to stand up to the fucking plate and grow a pair of fucking testicular fortitudes, if you will. And the mothers need to grow a bit of fallopian fortitude and start saying, no, you're not going to do this. You've got your own race, right? A race that is beautiful, that will nurture you, right? Don't fucking do this. You know, look after your own race, because by God, they're going to look after theirs, or they're just going to go along with the Kalergi plan. It's pissing me off.
Sean, it's been educated out of people. That's the problem.
Yeah, it has.
Race consciousness has been educated out of people.
Yeah, I know. I know.
It's hostility. It's not just educate. It's actual hostility towards it, towards race consciousness.
Yeah.
I agree, actually, yeah.
Yes, it's a hostility towards it. But on this question of these lovely girls, we've all noticed that, I'm sure. I think part of it, too, is that parents no longer have authority over their children in the way that they once did. In other words, the law intervenes with
yeah, how... Yeah, but Adrian, if I could interrupt just for a sec. You know, you're absolutely right when you say that the parents have had the law come down on top of them and say, you can't smack your child, you can't do this and you can't do that.
Exactly.
But that's different to morality. That's different to the education of morality. See, when we're educating, if we're going to spank our child and that's going to be called child abuse, I can see how the law have weaned their way in to stop us doing that. But when it comes to morality, it does not invade in my life. What happens is if I thought for a second my son or my daughter were going to go out with a Jew or a black or something like that, I'll be the first one to say no, and I'll tell you why. It's immoral, not just on your side, but on theirs as well. You're going to be degrading their race. You're taking their race out, and you're taking yours out as well. That's a different thing. We've got to separate the idea that, okay, we're not allowed to spank our child because apparently that's child abuse, from creating a difference in morality. That there's two separate ball games, if you ask me. Go ahead, Adrian.
Yes, I appreciate that. I appreciate that. But remember this too, that where do people get morality from? Well, traditionally, it's been from a religion. The religion of this country for the last 1,500 years has been Christianity. Now it's the Christian church, which is encouraging miscegenation and discouraging any parental authority to stop it. So when you talk about morality, the morality is that of the Christian religion, and that is very much opposed to what we're talking about. They are extremely opposed to it. So the morality that she's getting is not just coming from a parent, it's coming from the church and any religious institution that she might belong to. They're all... favour intermarriage and say there should be no discrimination between...
I think you're right, Adrian, because they've all been infiltrated.
Yeah, they've been corrupt. Yeah. Corrupted, yeah. Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. They've been corrupted. These churches have been corrupted. It's like the whole Judeo-Christian ideal, where once upon a time, the Christian church... You know, I mean, I was brought up through Catholicism, and when we had to go to church every Monday, and we had the nuns and the priests teaching us stuff. We had even the school teachers were of Catholicism, and they taught us a good moral value. They basically said, you know, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not do this and that, you know, the Ten Commandments and everything. There's no doubt about it that there was that element to white Western civilization. But yeah, now it's been corrupted, and as you said, Maleficus, it's been infiltrated. Giuseppe, what say you?
It absolutely has been infiltrated, and it is a plan. I mean, you're going back to the protocols, the learned elders of Zion. They don't disclaim that's the agenda. They call it a forgery.
Yeah.
So somebody just made a bad copy, right? They don't say, oh, no, we're not doing it. Of course they're doing it. And if you look at the 20-some points of it, it's like 27 of 28 have been implemented or are in play. You know, there's like only one left. And it's sad because there's some brilliant people we've been covering on some of our shows lately that you have this new deadly hybrid of Zionism, parasitic Zionist capitalism, and Bolshevik communism. It's called communitarianism. And this vile kike, his real name is like Werner Braum or something, a German kike, and he changed his name to Amatai Atzioni, and he teaches at American universities. He's an old man now, but for 40 years he's been talking about, oh, you know, the community needs to raise the child in the community. And so what it is it's ruining your world, but because it's got a fuzzy sweater on, you know, you're now the boot on your throat is a pair of bunny slippers, right? So they're trying to make it like, oh, like that scumbag Hillary Clinton, it takes a village to raise a child. Fuck no, it takes mother and father and grandmother and grandfather to raise
a child. Amen. I'm telling you. Yeah, you know, one of the things, you know, feminism destroyed the mother aspect. You know, the mother once upon a time stayed at home and looked after the babies. I remember my nan, they had something like 9 kids, and she was able to look after them no problem, like a teacher. You know, they would all be doing their thing. She had something like 5 daughters and the rest were boys. And she was able to look after all of them while Pa was out there as a steam train driver and bringing back the bread. And it worked perfect. He would come back, and if one of them needed a spanking, they got that spanking. You know, he would walk in and say, "Who's misbehaved today?" And my nan would say, "This one, this one, this one." He would bend them over his knee and wham, 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 wham. And they'd think twice about what they did. And then she was the one doing the cooking, you know, the cleaning and everything like that. It was working perfect. Mother and father relationship worked perfect. Now you take the mother out of the equation, all of a sudden, I deserve to go out and work as well because you're oppressing me. And you say, no, the true oppression is when you leave the household. The government is oppressing you. The establishment at the higher echelons is oppressing you. The government, like the Rothschilds, the Morgans, the Rockefellers, they are oppressing you because they are taking away your motherhood. Like, wake the fuck up. Oh, it drives me crazy.
And look at who was behind the whole feminist movement is the radical Bolshevik Jew every single time, as they say, right? Sorry, Maleficus.
No, that's fine. I was literally just going to say, now they can tax, you know, the entire population and not just half of it.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's gotten out of hand. And this is why parenthood is no longer working. So you've got these parents that are, you know, walking around like, yeah, here you go, mate. What's going on, mate? Yeah. Like a howzo. I don't care if my daughter goes out with a nigger. He's a good nigger. And you're thinking, you've got to be fucking kidding me. You know, one of them said to me, well, you're not going to become a rocket scientist, like I was saying before the break. And straight off, I said, no, because I don't want to. But I am creating radio stations. I've created my own radio station. You know, I know what equipment to get, what to do, how to do it. And they say, well, yeah, because you got trained. And I say, no, I didn't get trained. I did not get trained. I did it myself. I worked it out myself because I'm intelligent. You know, these.
Yeah, I mean, that rocket scientist argument, as I've brought this up on the broadcast before, but have you ever seen any of the photographs of the rockets that the Africans have built? Have you? Genuinely? Has anyone? I mean, Google it now.
Yeah,
anyone
I know.
Go and Google African rocket project or African space program. If you want a good laugh, you know, that's that. Go and look up Google images for that.
Jimmy X and I were actually laughing about that back in 2012. Yeah, the rockets that they create, you've got to look at them and go like, you have got to be joking.
Yeah, welded together bits of dustbin and bicycle parts and stuff. It's just ridiculous.
It really is. It really is. Yeah, there's no doubt about it. So, yeah, gentlemen, we're soon to be coming up in the next 8 minutes. 6 minutes. We're going to be coming up to the safe hour this time because we didn't get the safe hour in the second hour. Oh, what can I say? Maleficus dropped the F-bomb when he shouldn't have.
Oh, yeah, right. Blame it on me. Yes, fine. Blame it on me. Yeah. My Australian accent is getting quite good nowadays.
There we go. There we go. Yeah, so no, in the next hour, what we're going to do is we're going to do the safe hour. The safe hour is where we're going to do a children hour where we can play some clips so that we can teach child safety. Now, I haven't only just taught possible child drowning over the years, but I've also taught child safety when it comes to not talking to strangers and everything like that, no matter how safe they seem or whatever, because my daughter was almost kidnapped. So, and it was even before she was almost kidnapped, I was already doing this stuff, as the long-term listeners will tell you. I was already doing this stuff. I'm not one of those Michael J. Foxes that starts talking about his condition and how he needs donations just because he got the condition. I'm one of these people that even before my daughter was almost kidnapped, pardon me, that has been covering this for a long time, on and off during Oracle, Orion and everything. I think it's really important because a lot of kids seem to think that, you know, okay, well, this stranger's okay because he's not acting like the stranger that the cops told me about at school today. I think that these kids really need to know, no matter what stranger they are, they need to stay away from them. So I've got some audio clips lined up that talk like they're audio news clips, mainstream news clips that talk to the idea of what can happen real fast. And kids need to know this because we're no longer in the 80s anymore. We're not in the 70s or 80s anymore. We're now in 2021 where we are getting a lot of third world countries coming over here, and they are literally kidnapping kids off the street and doing horrible things to them and everything like that. So coming up in the third hour, that's what we're going to cover without the bad language. Right, Maleficus? Behave yourself.
Yeah, sorry, boss.
But here's the thing, though. What I'm going to do is I'm going to separate the third hour.
Just before we go for the break, mate. Giuseppe's off. Are you taking your leave, old boy?
Yes. My wife wants to have dinner, so it's time for me to depart. But man, has this been great? Loved it. You guys are true leaders of the movement. And anytime you want me back, you just let me know.
Oh man, open invitation, I think, for you, sir.
Oh, absolutely.
It's good to have you on. Yeah. I've really enjoyed your input.
Yep, absolutely.
And we got to bring you back on the Perfect Triangle in April. So start to look at your schedules, and we should do it again. That was a really popular show.
Well, you know what? You're welcome anytime here, Giuseppe. If you ever happen to be listening to us live and you want to jump in, we'll just invite you in. You've always got great input yourself, and I think that, you know, like I said the week before, on Bryce's show, we're a release valve here. We're not just people that bring information to the table, because a lot of the listeners bring information to the table when they email us. So we're not just people that bring information to the table, but we're release valves for people because we say a lot of things that a lot of other people don't want to say, and you're a part of that. And I hope that people got something out of what you had to say tonight, and I'm sure they did.
Well, it's my honor to join you, and we'll do it again soon. So thanks so much for having me.
No worries at all. Say good day to, say good day to Chris and Scorpio for me.
You bet. And we'll next time we'll get those guys to come on too. I know Scorpio was looking forward to it, and then I was just looked again. He's still off Skype, so it must have been a pretty devastating storm or whatever for 2 days straight. No contact. That's wild.
Yeah. I hope he's safe. I hope he's safe.
Me too. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So, ladies and gentlemen, this was Giuseppe, our special guest from Revolution Radio. Get your website out there really quick, there, Scorpio. Rather Giuseppe, and so people can find where you all are.
Freedom's Lips, freedom, plural freedom, and then lips.com, or even easier, revolution.radio.
There we go, revolution.radio. So check them out, ladies and gentlemen. They do a great show. I've been listening to them on and off whenever I can. Scorpio, Giuseppe, and Chris, also known as Brutal Honesty. And they do a great broadcast, so check them out by all means. We're coming into the third hour. This is going to be the safe hour. This is going to be the safe hour.
Yes, it is.
It will be a separate hour. I will put it separately on a different page for the parents that actually want to play this for their children. So there you go. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Top of the third hour coming up. No, 7.9 FM here in the Alpines of Australia and 1650 AM Tonawanda, New York. Her only novel, Wuthering Heights, published a year before her death in 1848 at the age of 30, stands as perhaps the most intensely original work in the English language. In it, Emily Bronte records the story of the passionate love between Catherine Earnshaw and the wild Heathcliff, with such truth, imagination and emotional intensity that A Plain Tale of the Yorkshire Moors acquires the depth and simplicity of ancient tragedy. Anybody who has read Wuthering Heights, written by Emily Bronte, knows full well that Heathcliff comes across as a Spanish wild gypsy boy. So why on earth was there a black playing the part of Heathcliff in the latest film? WTFR.
Welcome to Two's Company Three's Aloud with your host from the land down under, Sean, a.k.a. Surplus.
Sean, a.k.a. Surplus.
Dissecting the latest news on the issues that invade your privacy and take away your rights as we move closer to a one-world government. And finding solutions alongside you, the listener, to fight against the New World Order. And now, here's your host, Sean.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Two's Company Three is allowed the top of the third hour. This is going to be what we call the safe hour. With this is Malefica Sentius and myself, Sean. What happens is, every now and then, I like to do a children's hour, where we warn children of what not to do and what to do depending on the situation. Well, I always like to dig up some clips. Year after year, I always discuss drowning and how drowning doesn't look like drowning. Because on the movies, drowning looks like thrashing in the water and like, you know, you're drowning. That's not the case. Quite often, children start to drown. This is not just for the children, it's for the parents as well, of course. It doesn't often look like drowning. What happens is they just get a daze, their nose and mouth are under the water. I'm just going to cut the brakes out because we don't want any brakes coming in at the moment. What happens is quite often they get a dazed look over their face when their mouth and nose is under the water. They're drowning, but they're very calm. A lot of the time, they don't know that they're drowning. It's just happening, and the parents aren't realizing it. They just think they're sitting there very calmly. It's not like you see in the movies. I've read an article over the years of where a captain of a ship saw from a distance that a child was drowning because she was sitting there with her nose and mouth under the water, and the parents had no idea what was going on. So he was waving his arms, and when he realized the parents didn't know what was happening, he dove in and he saved the girl the parents just didn't realize that the young girl was drowning. So it's this sort of safety, but it's also the safety of when people are going to be kidnapped. Now, for the little ones, I want you to know that you do not want to be talking to strangers. If a stranger walks up and asks you for the time, do not give them the time. Just say, I'm not allowed to talk to strangers, and walk away. Simple as that. Okay? If they happen to start following you, then you need to get to the nearest adult and say, this person is following me, right? And the adult will hopefully be able to help you. There's a lot that goes on that in the adult world that you just don't want to experience, if you will. I've got a bundle of clips here that I'm going to be playing that I want you to hear as a young person. Adults, you might want to sort of take your kids out of the room if it sounds a little bit disturbing. There's nothing bad language or anything like that. But there is things that may be disturbing to them. At least you can watch them, listen to these clips as a parent, and then explain it in your own way to them, you know, before they go to bed or something like that, and say, all right, you know, this is what we need to take, we need to understand. So what I'm going to be doing is playing some clips, and I will read the clip out before I play it. So if you need to send your child out for whatever reason, because you think it will disturb the child, if the child happens to be too young, you can do so. So let's start with this one, Maleficus. Do we have you there, Maleficus?
Yes, I'm here, mate. I was being a patient student and listening to you.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, no,
I did actually have my hand up, but you didn't notice.
Oh, sorry about that. You know, we're a long way away. I can only barely see you in the distance.
Yes, that's fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
So what we're going to do is the first one we're going to play is 7-year-old runs to Utah home after stranger offers her a bicycle. So young ones, if somebody offers you something, whether it be lollies or what the Americans call candy or a bicycle, don't take it. Don't ask for it. Run. Just run to your house or run to the nearest house and bam, bam, bam on the door so that you can get protection, because there might be a reason the person is offering this to you in that they want to harm you. Think of when you fall over and you skin your knee. Well, think of skinning your knee 5 times. It's going to hurt a lot, isn't it? Well, that person might want to skin your knee 5 times. So what we want to do at the moment is if somebody offers lollies or candy to you, don't do it. Let's have a listen to this clip here just to get a gist.
Run, Emmy, run! 7-year-old Emmy McCardle was sunbathing outside her house in Salt Lake City when a car pulled up. The driver offered a friendly greeting. Then he asked an enticing question that any little kid could fall for.
You want a bicycle?
No.
But little Emmy knew just what to do. She yelled no and ran into her home.
I believe that he was looking for a child to take.
Emmy's mom, Michelle, knew something was wrong the second her daughter ran through the door.
She came running in and said, hey, there's a tricky guy outside that tried to get me.
I didn't want to go with him because he looked like a tricky man, and I didn't know him, so I didn't want to go with him.
Emmy showed us how she bravely took action when the stranger called out to her. A surveillance camera on her doorbell captured this scary episode.
No.
You can hear him ask if she wants a bicycle, and she says no.
Michelle says she taught her 2 kids from an early age about stranger danger.
Never go with a tricky person because they try and take you to a bad place.
I'm so grateful that she knew what to do.
Mom hopes other kids will see this video and learn from it. Salt Lake City police are now asking for the public's help in tracking down the driver of the late model green Ford Taurus.
It's very suspicious. First of all, just the mere fact that he stopped in front of the home as she's there sunbathing. Then when he starts engaging her in conversation, again, it's not typical that an adult would converse with a young child like that.
You want a bicycle?
No.
So there we go. That's the first clip, Maleficus. A good message out to the kids. When somebody pulls up in front of your driveway or whether you're walking along the road and they ask you, do you want a bicycle or do you want some lollies or do you want some candy? Don't do it. All you do is say no and you run. You run to the nearest household. Bam, bam, bam on the door and get some help.
Definitely. And to be fair, to be honest, any respecting adult would ask the parents if it was okay first. You know, if I wanted to give a bicycle to my next door neighbor's children, I wouldn't approach the children. I would approach the parents and say, would this be any good to you? Do you think your daughter or your son would like this? I wouldn't approach the child directly. Because as a parent myself, I don't want, as a parent myself, I feel that it's my right to decide what is right or wrong for my child. And I wouldn't expect somebody to just offer my child something that I hadn't said it was okay for them to have. So any self-respecting adult
would at least approach your parents first.
Yeah, that's a great point. That's a great point. So to let the little ones know, you know, if these people that you see on the street have not spoken to your parents before, then they are strangers. And what do? We stay away from strangers. Okay, let's take a listen to this one. 13-year-old fights off would-be kidnapper. Now, the reason I want to bring this one up is, especially for the parents, is that my daughter was almost kidnapped. There was a new bus driver. The bus driver didn't understand the route. So what happens is when my son and my daughter got off the bus, they were dropped off by a dank laneway. And somebody came out of the laneway and picked up my daughter and started to try and run with her. It was lucky that her brother was with her, my son was with her, because he started to yell and the kidnapper panicked. So it was just lucky at that stage. Now, for the little ones, if you do get picked up by somebody, if somebody runs up behind you and picks you up, you need to do things that are... It's not nice, I know, but the thing is you need to do it to protect yourself. You need to stick your fingers in their eyes. It's horrible, I know, but if you don't, they won't let you go. They'll take you away. They will hurt you. So what you need to do is stick your fingers in their eyes. You need to scratch. You need to bite. You need to do everything you possibly can to get away from these people. You need to hurt them in any way because otherwise they're going to hurt you. It is okay to hurt them because they are going to hurt you. Let's take a look at this one here. 13-year-old fights off would-be kidnapper.
Now to that incredible kidnapping escape here in New York. A 13-year-old caught on surveillance camera fighting off an attacker who followed her home on her walk from school. ABC's Ariel Reshef has the story.
It's the shocking near abduction caught on camera. A 13-year-old girl fighting off an alleged kidnapper.
This 13-year-old girl was very brave. She fought off this individual. She fought off her attacker.
Police say the victim was walking home from classes at this Long Island middle school Tuesday afternoon when a man started following her, trailing her for a half a mile. Then, just steps from her door, the man starts running after the teen. Surveillance cameras from the family's home capturing the entire struggle. The 13-year-old telling authorities the assailant grabbed her, putting his hand over her mouth to stifle her screams. The teen says she was able to briefly escape before the man tried to drag her behind some parked cars. She manages to get away, banging on her door for help before her family comes to the rescue. Video showing her older brother confronting the suspect.
This little girl did do everything right. When a child is able to get away, it's because something that they did that was proactive, kicking, screaming, drawing attention, making noise. That's exactly what this girl did in this case. She did everything she could to get away from this guy. She really acted quickly.
Just 24 hours later, police arresting this man, 24-year-old Jared James, with the help of those surveillance videos and one brave little girl.
Brave indeed. James is facing several charges, including endangering a child, second-degree assault, and attempted kidnapping. As you heard there, experts say 80% of the time when a child escapes abduction, it is because of something they did, proactive action. So they say it's best for parents to talk to your kids early and often about what to do in this scenario.
Always such an important reminder. Yeah. Okay, Ariel, thank you.
Hi, everyone. George Stephanopoulos here. Thanks for checking out the ABC News YouTube channel. If you'd like...
So there we go. This message is, it's not so much for, of course, the young ones, Maleficus, because they won't understand it. You know, if there's something like 6 to 8 years of age, they probably won't understand what this means. But this is more for the 10, 11, 12-year-olds and everything like that, that are easily enticed into these situations or end up in these situations out of not their own will. So that's where we're talking here. And we're also more talking to the parents. It can happen so quick, it's not funny. You know, I ended up walking my son and my daughter home. My little girl was only tiny. She was only 6 at the time when she was almost kidnapped. So what happens is I had to walk them home from school every day instead of catching the bus. And it was taxing her little legs, so I had to put her up on my bicycle and just walk the bicycle back at the time. And I did this for a long time. It was pretty terrible. But look, this is more for the parents and also those that are like 10, 11, 12 onwards to understand that, you know, if somebody grabs you, you've got to do everything in your power to fight back. Scratch.
Yeah, I mean,
yep.
To add to that, you will find that there are a lot of self-defense videos. I mean, if your parents themselves or if you as parents don't really have any idea about martial arts or boxing or judo or any form of self-defense, then there are actually videos on YouTube, you know, freely available for people to go and look at that will give them a rough idea or a basic idea of what to do if you're attacked. So, I'd advise anyone to go online and look at that sort of stuff just to be able to prepare your kids for that eventuality, because, you know, crikey, you'd be kicking yourself. You would be kicking yourself, to put it bluntly or very mildly, you'd be kicking yourself if something happened and you hadn't prepared your child for that eventuality.
You'd want
to sit back and know that you know they did everything they could, at least, you know.
I wholeheartedly agree with that. You know, as you know, I'm teaching my daughter how to box for these reasons. I've taught her how to eye gouge, and I know it sounds awful, especially if there are younger ones than, you know, like if there are young ones that are listening that are about 8 years of age, which I doubt their parents would allow them to listen to, but eye gouging is one of the most important things on the face of the planet when it comes to somebody abducting a child, because it's, again, we're in 2021 now where we have so much corruption going on in the world, kidnappings, murders, rapes and all of that. So what we need to do is teach our children how to eye gouge, you know, reach back and stick your fingers in his or her eyeballs and make perfectly sure that they drop you so you can run. It's the only option we've got now. Isn't it funny, Maleficus, that...
Yeah.
Well, it's not funny. Isn't it awful that we have to teach our children these things in this day and age, as brutal as it is? Because if we don't, awful things can come about. You know,
well,
so...
You could argue, to be fair, that this is the sort of thing that you would teach your child, you know, hundreds of years ago anyway.
Yeah.
This is the sort of thing that you would teach to your children, but it's been, shall we say, educated out of us. Oh, you don't want to cause harm to other people. No, you don't ever want to cause harm to other people. But if they want to cause harm to you, then you are justified, even in the eyes of God.
That's right. And what Maleficus means by justified, he means that it's okay to do it. For those of you that are young and not sure what justified means. No, you're absolutely right. What you call it's been educated out of us, I call it divorced. It's been divorced, and we need to reinforce it. We need to say to our children, hey, listen, my son.
It's okay to defend yourself.
It's okay to defend yourself. We don't want to harm people. Nobody wants to harm people. But the thing is, if somebody tries to harm you, it's okay to harm them, plain and simply. Let's get to the next clip here. What are we? 18 past. Okay, so we're good. Alabama police rescue kidnapped woman from cage in van. This is how scary this can get. So it's not just kids, ladies and gentlemen. It's also like full-grown women that can be kidnapped. So if this gives you an idea, this is why you need to know how to eye gouge and do these sorts of things, because even grown women can be kidnapped as well. Let's have a listen.
Police say the suspect had only been in Alabama a matter of months. He's from Los Angeles. He has a long and violent criminal history, according to authorities. He's accused of kidnapping a woman and holding him in his van, which he had converted into a cage.
A brazen predator pulled from the back of his van and put in cuffs just moments earlier.
I got it.
A dramatic rescue of his alleged victim as police in Alabama free the kidnapped woman from the vehicle. The doors chained shut from the inside. Neighbors stunned by the shocking scene.
We were just terrified because we didn't know, you know, whether he had a gun, whether he's going to be shooting or what.
Police say the suspect, identified as Sean Sanders, is a homeless man from Los Angeles with an extensive criminal record.
He's in the back. He's in the back.
The drama, captured on an officer's body cam, unfolding Sunday afternoon as police rush to the scene after officers spot the suspect's minivan.
Barricaded subject van with a female hot.
Police say Sanders had tried to drag the victim into the woods. A witness heard her screams. Sanders then forcing the victim into the van and fleeing. That good Samaritan, though, following behind, calling police.
I didn't have all the facts. The only thing I did know, I wasn't going to let him leave without the police checking it out.
Authorities finally cornering Sanders, but he refused to give up.
Get out of my hand, Sean.
Come on, Sean.
Holding the terrified victim at knife point in the back of the van.
I got him.
Police eventually tasing Sanders as they pulled the woman to safety. Inside, they found the back of the vehicle had been converted into a cage. Wire covering the windows, blankets blocking any view. The doors chained shut. Police say the victim suffered more than 30 blows to the head with a tire iron. She's now recovering at home, grateful to be alive.
Indeed, very lucky. Sanders now behind bars, facing a long list of felony charges. Investigators say he'd been living in Alabama for the last 3 months out of his van.
Hello, I'm Mark Brown. Click the ABC 7 logo to subscribe to our Eyewitness News YouTube channel.
No, don't click the ABC thing. But anyway, it goes to show how brazen these disgusting pigs are. They'll pick up a young child, or they'll pick up an adult at any time. They have no fear whatsoever, ladies and gentlemen. So, by all means, teach.
Yeah, and also, obviously, that poor lady who'd taken 30 blows to the head with a tire iron over here. We wouldn't call it a tire iron. We'd call it a
crowbar,
a spanner, or whatever. A tire iron. I'm thinking about the thing to change a wheel. But no, a tire iron, yeah, I suppose it would be a crowbar.
Yeah. Crikey. Yeah, a crowbar. Yeah, so...
Yeah, that's horrific. That's horrific.
It's absolutely horrific.
And in broad daylight, obviously, as well. If this guy was witnessed by some guy who followed, thank goodness that guy was there.
To follow the
vehicle with the mobile phone. And, this is one time, Sean, I know I argue against them, but this is one time I will definitely advocate for mobile phones.
yeah, I know. But you know what? This is where I will say it's flawed still. I'll tell you why. It's because the first thing they do is take your mobile phone away from you when they grab you. They reach over you.
Oh no, I mean about the guy.
Okay.
Who followed the vehicle.
Yep. I see what you mean. I was talking about the kidnap victim, but I see what you're saying. Yeah. The kidnap victim. The first thing they do is they reach into the back pocket, grab the mobile phone, they throw it away, and then they just chuck the victim in the back of the car. So, but again, to the young ones that are listening, or the parents that are listening, listen to this stuff. Heed it. Because you can then teach your child what to do when something like this happens. Okay, so we've got one here caught on camera. I want to leave a happy note before we go on this hour, Maleficus. There's a happy one
just before we get happy. Mm. Just before we get happy, can I explain something that eye gouging is not forcing your fingers into someone's eyeball. It's trying to force your fingers down the side of someone's eyeball between their skull and their eye.
That's right.
Because people might think, oh, I'll just poke them in the eye and that will do everything. Yeah, being poked in the eye is quite painful. But if someone manages to get their thumb or their finger between your eye and the bone socket, then that is a lot more painful. So I just wanted to clarify that.
Yeah. You could actually, yeah, I know. It'll probably be more parents that are listening to this and I will make a disclaimer. I will make a disclaimer sort of thing so that the parents can explain it to the child in their own way on its own page. But you're absolutely right. In fact, you can scrape an eyeball out of its socket if you can get it between the skull and the eyeball itself. Now, it sounds awful to have to teach your child this, but you know what? I taught my children this early on in life, and they weren't disturbed by it. I was just straight out. I said, hey, I said, especially my daughter, I said, darling, after she'd been almost kidnapped, I said, this is what you need to do. You need to get your fingers right in there and just like, vroom, try and rip that eyeball out. And she was like, okay, Dad. She was cool with it, you know.
But, you know, I can imagine Beth was actually. Yeah, okay, Dad, I got it.
Yeah, that's right. And you know what? That big part of that, just to, as another disclaimer, could be because they've been brought up with a person that was, you know, on the street and everything like that. So they're used to the way I talk. But you, as a parent, will have your own way of talking to explain it. You know what you have to do, but you need to explain it these days because there's too many creepos out on the street. Let's get to this one here. Where is it? Yeah, I've got a couple that at the end of the hour I'm going to play that will perk up the mood, because of course this stuff is all doom and gloom. But here's this one's pretty cool. Dad knocks out kidnapper, saves his daughter. Let's have a listen.
That's when I decided to take action and knock him out.
A father being called a hero tonight for knocking out a man who tried to kidnap his 3-year-old daughter. The scary moments played out at the regional park near the family's home in Auburn.
CBS 13's Jennifer McGrath spoke to that father and joins us now in the studio to explain what happened. Scary stuff, Jen.
Yeah, this really was a brazen attack, but it didn't just start there. Investigators say the suspect was harassing kids in the park, telling one teenager he could handcuff him and drag him into a pond. But instead, deputies say the man then turned his attention to a 3-year-old.
Freddie Cantrell lives just across the street from Regional Park, where his two young girls were playing with their mother and stepdad Sunday night. It's a place they used to love that's now part of their biggest nightmare.
And then I got a phone call from the mother saying, hey, I need you to get down here quick. Somebody tried to kidnap Aubrey.
It all happened in front of their 6-year-old daughter.
The guy walked up and started, like, dragging Aubrey and, like, running with her, skipping with her.
The mom and stepdad took off running, with Cantrell now charging straight towards the suspect.
He tried to swing at me with the handcuffs wrapped around his fingers and tried to use them as brass knuckles, and that's when I just took action and I just took him out.
Placer County deputies quickly arrived after the citizen's arrest and took 26-year-old Yanel Hernandez Velasco into custody for attempted kidnapping and assault with a deadly weapon.
You see the bad stuff on the news and hope it doesn't happen to your kids. So you just got to keep an eye out, I guess.
Which sadly means parents in the neighborhood can't let kids just be kids and play unsupervised.
It's better than me having to get kidnapped because I came here alone.
Many are just grateful that man is off their street.
I mean, if I seen that, I would go after the person too, you know, because he's somebody's kid, you know.
And that's exactly what Cantrell did.
They're like, oh, you're a hero for saving that little girl. It's like, well, that little girl's my daughter. You know, I'm just doing the fatherly thing, you know.
And the girl's mother posted this story to her Facebook page. And now there have been nearly 1,000 shares and hundreds of comments from people all over the country praising this father.
An incredible story. All right. Glad everybody's okay, Jen. Thanks.
So there we go. You know, the way I look at it too is with the parents, the message to the parents, don't be afraid to knock the person out that is doing something to your son or daughter. If you see something suspicious, don't think, oh, well, the law's going to go against me, because this has happened time and time again where they'll say, oh, well, if I punch this person, I'm going to end up in trouble. And I'm thinking, no, don't be foolish. When somebody grabs your child in any sort of malicious way, and you don't, especially don't know the person, you run up and you drop them. Like he said, that's when I took him out. You take them out as best way you can. You don't hesitate. There is no hesitation there. There is no one step forward, two steps back. It is straightforward, iron fist, bam, drop him, and then grab your child and bring them into safety. So that's a message to the adults this time, the parents. You have to make perfectly sure that they are looked after. You know what? After my daughter was almost kidnapped, the one thing I can say is this, is that she has felt more safe with me than ever before. We have discussions here and there where if she's going to be walking down the street by herself or something like that, She will say to me straight out, she will say, Dad, no, I know. I know I'm safe. You've taught me well. You know, I can do the eye gouge thing. I can do this and that, that, that. But not just that. If you're nearby, I know that you will come to my rescue and I'm going to be safe. I said, you're damn straight. You're damn straight that you're going to be safe. Yeah. So,
I mean, I notice the name of the
Hernandez
abductor. Yeah, obviously, maybe not necessarily
Mexican,
maybe not native to the community, should we say?
Yeah, Mexican.
And this is the whole thing again about community, and I bring up community a lot, but this is very important with the protection of your children. Years and years ago, there was a sense of community in, you know, and everyone still likes to think
when it was a white community.
Yeah, when it was a genuine community. But the thing is, everyone still likes to think because of this tolerance that's bred into everyone, you know, or educated into everyone.
Yeah,
everyone still likes to think, even though society has changed, that it is as safe as it always was, and it really isn't.
It really isn't.
I mean, I'm not talking particularly for me personally. I live in a, you know, predominantly most of the people that live near me are, you know, I would say used to this style of community, this style of heritage and creed, and, you know, basically, you know, they're all white British, the people that I live around. They're not from other cultures. They're not used to other cultures. And therefore, I do feel quite safe leaving my kids to play outside the front of the house or whatever. My kids that are slightly older, I don't mind them walking up to the park. And, you know, and I've got one who's an adult now, and he can look after himself. But the whole thing about this chap was allowed to be wandering around in amongst the community when he blatantly wasn't part of the natural community, and I think that is also sadly part of the issue.
We have
a lot of creeds and cultures all pushed in together, and they don't all have respect for each other, or they have a different level of respect for each other.
And I don't even think it really comes down to respect. I think it comes down to genetics and things like that. So the genetics doesn't allow respect in many ways. It just allows a sense of savagery. That's all they know. So we've got to keep that in mind as well. But I'm glad you brought this up, Maleficus, because at the end of all of these clips, you've taken the words right out of my mouth. At the end of all these clips, I was going to let people know that when I went searching for these clips, the ones that came up the most were people of different color and different creeds, different religions and everything like that. They were not of white Western European peoples. And they were the first hits that I saw on YouTube. I downloaded these from YouTube. When I typed this in, it just went bam, 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 bam. And straight away, I saw the Hernandez. You know what I mean? I saw the Shaniquas. I saw all of these. So it's another warning sign. Okay? Try and stick to your own. And I'll leave it at that.
Society is not what we are used to, and it's
different.
Not what we're told. It still is. It's not that anymore.
Exactly, which is why I say to my daughter at all times, just remember, back in the day where I was growing up in the 70s and 80s, it was one thing. It's not that anymore. This is why you were almost kidnapped when you were six. It's because society has changed. It has changed color. It has changed creed. So what you need to do is, I'm going to teach you how to box. I'm going to teach you how to look after yourself and everything like that. And parents need to start doing that. You know, this black person going out with a young white girl might look okay now, but it's too late when the white girl ends up in a bad state of affairs. If you know what I'm saying. So, yeah. Let's get to the next one. Dad tackles man suspected of taking upskirt photos of daughter. Now, this is another thing that you've got to watch out for. What they're doing is they're putting like a little mirror on the top of their shoe parents, take heed in this. They put a mirror on the top of their shoe and then they focus their cell phone on the mirror and they put the mirror under young girls' skirts, all right? And then they film the upskirt. That's what they call it, an upskirt shot. They film the upskirt and then they take it home and they sell it. They literally sell it on the internet. Like they'll go to kiddie porn sites and stuff like that and they sell it on the internet. So keep an eye on your surroundings when you've got your little girl around because, of course, it's boys don't often wear skirts as far as I know. But girls often do. So what happens is they film your daughter and then they walk away and they sell it to like kiddie porn sites and everything like that. This is something you've got to be watching out for. This is why when my daughter and I are out, like she wears jeans on the most part, but if she's not wearing jeans or something like that, I'm always watching around me because now, again, as Malefica said, society has totally changed. So now we've always got to be watching over our shoulder. So you've got to be watching out for dudes that have like a what looks like a little piece of glass stuck to the top of their foot. Because what they're doing, or some of them that are squatted down and they make it look like they're typing on their phone, you've got to watch out for this. Have a listen to this one here. Dad knocks out kidnapper. No, that's not the one. Dad tackles man suspected of taking upskirt photos of daughter.
What caught my attention when he got close to my daughter was the camera mode.
When this Orange County dad noticed this man approach his 15-year-old daughter in the Cypress Target Sunday night at 7:45 with a cell phone held low pointed up in the direction of her skirt, he blocked him from getting close to her. But minutes later, as Ismael Duarte and his family stood in line, he saw the same bald man in a tank top strike again, this time bending down and apparently recording video up another woman's skirt. Target's security tape captured the confrontation.
We were coming over to the register, and here he comes again, pops out, following another girl with the dress.
Duarte kicked the cell phone from 29-year-old Jorge Ibarra.
My husband was basically almost on top of the guy and asking him to give him his phone, and he wouldn't.
Duarte and his wife ran after the man, snapping pictures of him and his license plate. That's all police needed to catch him.
It's disgusting that he knew exactly what he was doing. If he went to different Targets to do this, how many other stores did he go to?
Target security tape shows Ibarra placing his cell phone on the ground near other women in the Cypress Target that same night. Police say earlier that day at a Target in Cerritos, Ibarra used his cell phone to inappropriately videotape and take pictures of women there as well. The Duarte say the Cypress Target manager told them the staff had been warned that a man with Ibarra's description was targeting women in that store just 1 hour before.
And I said, why weren't you looking for him? This could have been prevented. And he just kept saying, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So watch out for that as well, ladies and gentlemen. You know, these perverts that, and they don't just do that too, by the way, Maleficus. A mate of mine sent me a video, a link to a video that showed that they also film girls in changing rooms and toilets. They must have some sort of, I don't know what sort of camera they're using because it doesn't show the camera, of course, because the camera's filming. But it must be some sort of pin camera or something like that because obviously these girls aren't seeing it. So I'm like, what the hell is going on here? You know, how are they hiding these cameras in these changing rooms and these toilets where girls are going to the toilet? So that's another thing parents need to be looking out for.
Yeah, it's nuts. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, I've always said to my son and my daughter, always look around the toilet first and make sure there's nothing that looks suspect because you don't know what's going on in there. And they're like, yeah, okay, Dad, yeah, no worries. And I okay, like to
so
think...
this is another strike against mobile phones for me, you see. You see how they're no good to society.
Well, they are good to society with good people, but they're just not good to society with bad people.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, see, technology is neutral. It's neither good nor bad. But in bad hands, it's bad. In good hands, it's good. So you can't say either way that it's, oh, well, this is why I'm going to be against it. You've also got to be for it when it's a good thing. You know what I'm saying?
I know. And I was earlier. I did say I advocate for mobile phones in that particular instance.
Yeah.
But,
Yeah. So it's neutral. It's got to be treated as neutral. But what we've got to do is we've got to take it out of the bad hands. So if I happen to walk in to a toilet and I see a cell phone hovering under under one of the stalls because someone's putting it under there, I'll stamp on their arm, break their arm, drag them outside, beat the crap out of them and say, right, I've just taken that technology out of bad hands.
I get that. But obviously this is fairly covert. Otherwise, people would be doing exactly that. I mean, the guy that was wandering around the store there, I mean, how he hoped to get away with that without people seeing him, I just it's beyond me. I mean, that's pure desperation, but that's what these weirdos are like, I suppose, you know?
You don't really... See, that's the whole thing. I think you brought up a good point there, is like, that's how these weirdos are, because you're unsure. Well, you and I don't know how these people think, because we're not them. You know what I'm saying? So we can't have some form of empathy for them, meaning we put ourselves in their shoes, because we can never become that. You know what I'm saying? Like, my brother and I had a discussion about our father, because he was a molester. He molested my whole family besides me, as far as we know. We don't know how to become that, because we can never become that. You know what I'm saying? Like, obviously, our father had something wrong going on in the wiring of the brain, and need to be put down swiftly. But to actually, I said to my brother, I said, how do these people function? Why do they do it? He said, Sean, we will never know, because we're not them. We're not wired wrong. They are. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. They're weirdos, pretty much. All right. Let me see here. Oh, we might have just had a call from Jimmy X. I'm not sure whether he knows we're on air or not, but let me have a look. Let me see here. Oh, no, maybe not. I thought we had a call from Jimmy X just then. Okay, are you still there, Maleficus?
I am indeed, yes.
Okay. I'm pretty sure we just had a call from Jimmy X. Oh, well, maybe not. Well, Jimmy, if you are listening, and we did have a call from you, by all means, call back in. So we've got another clip here. Disturbing video. California girl hides behind truck as she's followed by a stranger. Let's have a listen.
Police in Northern California, they've released some video of a young girl being followed by a suspicious car right in broad daylight. Take a look at this. You can see the girl walking when suddenly she notices a car trailing her. This is in Vacaville. She then hides behind a pickup truck there, trying to dodge the car before running away. Residents in the neighborhood are shocked by the frightening incident.
Be careful out there. And she did the right thing by running home.
The world we live in, you never can trust anybody, really. So my kids know, honestly, they're not allowed to walk alone, really anywhere.
Investigators are now hoping this footage will help them find that driver. Officers are also warning parents and children to just stay on alert and look out for suspicious drivers out there.
Hello, I'm Mark Brown. Click the ABC7 logo to subscribe to our Eyewitness News YouTube channel.
We do have Jimmy X joining us on the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. Jimmy X, what you doing?
Listening to you two.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, we're doing child safety at the present time. So we're not allowed to swear. We're not allowed to use bad language at the present time. This is a child safety hour.
It is?
Yeah.
Good to hear your voice, Jimmy.
Oh, same here. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. Yourself?
Good. I'm doing okay. It's actually a really lovely day today, and it's what, about 10 to 7 in the evening, and I'm sitting outside enjoying a nice cold frosty beverage. I won't mention what it is since it's family hour. And actually imbibing in one of my other vices, which I won't mention either because it's family hour.
There we go. There we go. We've been playing clips for Stranger Danger because, as you know, Jimmy, you know how I usually do the drowning thing each year where, you know, it's for the parents to make perfectly sure that they watch over their children when they're around a pool or something like that. They have to be really careful.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, yeah. But so what we're doing this evening is we're actually doing the Stranger Danger thing where we're playing clips to show how easy it is for a child to end up getting picked up by strangers. And we're warning the parents and the children not to accept anything from a stranger, not to get into a car with a stranger and that sort of stuff.
Right. I mean, I caught a little bit of the show. Like I said, I came outside and I put the radio on and there you were in all of your glory. Both of you gentlemen. It's a shame though that it's a shame we have to remind parents of these things though, isn't it? I mean, really?
Especially in this day and age.
When I was a little kid. I'm sorry. I think we're all talking at once. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no. Go ahead. What happens is there's a bit of a delay between us. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I'm on my cell phone. I'm not in my studio. So, when I was a little kid, I remember we had a little baby pool, which you call, I guess, right out in the backyard. And my little sister, Anne Marie, was standing next to the pool and horsing around with my other little sister, who's younger than her, and she fell backwards into the pool. And my father had gone in the house for just a minute to answer the phone. And I didn't know what to do. I mean, I was like 6 years old. What do I know, right?
Yeah.
But I still remember that. He came running out and she, you know, I mean, you think about how fast something can happen. And I mean, she could have drowned.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you know, and again, this was probably 1966, I'm going to guess. So, you know, the phone rang. My father went in the house and there's three of us, three little kids outside around a pool. You know, I guess people don't think of it. Until unfortunately it's too late at times.
Well, you know, as I was saying earlier, you know, unlike Hollywood, drowning doesn't look like drowning. Quite often a child will have their head, like if they're on the beach and their mouth and nose is below the water and they've got this dazed look or this glazed look over their eyes, their parents often think that they're just very calm in the water. But actually, they're drowning. It's not like the kicking and splashing in Hollywood. They're actually quite calm as they're drowning. They go into a glazed type thing, and a lot of parents don't understand that. There was a captain that had to jump in off a boat again, as I was saying earlier, and save a child because the parents just didn't realize that she was drowning. And it was just, she was lucky that the captain jumped overboard, took his hat off, jumped overboard of a ship, no less, and grabbed the little girl and took her out onto the beach and said, your daughter was drowning. You know, don't look at Hollywood, you know. So, yeah, anything can happen at any time. And, you know, as you know, Jimmy, as I've been saying on the broadcast, my daughter was almost kidnapped. And it can happen in the blink of an eye. You just wouldn't know right. It. If you remember when we were back on Oracle and Kurt, the armchair survivalist, spoke about how so many parents leave their little 3-year-old and 4-year-old daughters and boys walking behind them. So what he did is he walked up and he picked up one of these little girls and he walked up to the parents and he said, is this your daughter? And they sort of looked at him as if like, yeah, that's our daughter. What the hell? And he said, don't let your little daughter walk behind you like that. Anybody could have picked her up just like I did and taken her away and done whatever.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. And you know, and I don't know if you've ever experienced it. when my daughter, my oldest girl was young, this is back in, I mean, again, she was probably maybe 6, 7 herself. we were in a department store that was near our house, and she used to like to go there with me, and we'd go and, you know, shopping or whatever. She liked to buy clothes and stuff.
Yeah.
And she thought she was funny the one day. She went and hid in a clothes rack.
Oh, yeah.
And I was calling her, and I'm calling her, and she's not answering. And I thought I was going to have a heart attack.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's terrible.
Yeah. Okay. Here's a similar story. My brother actually experienced exactly the same thing. Now, you've spoken to my brother online, Jimmy, before.
Right.
Where his little son, Riley, did the same thing. He went and hid in a clothes rack, and they had to shut the whole complex down in case he was going to be trying to get out the doors or whatever. They had to call the police, the whole lot. But here's a scarier one. My daughter, we were swimming at the river at one stage. In fact, I wasn't swimming, but she was. And then I was on the mobile phone for literally, and this is where Maleficus is right when it comes to, you know, mobile phones can be a detriment. I was on the mobile phone only for probably 10 seconds just to reply back to a message. And I looked up at the river and my daughter's gone. And I thought, oh my God, there's no ripples. There's no nothing. She's gone. And I'm thinking, how do I find her? How do I jump out into that water and find her? So I just dove in and I started looking around under the water the best way I can. I didn't have goggles or anything. And I started looking around the water, and then I poked my head up and she came out of the weeds on the side and she goes, "Hi, Dad." And I went, "Don't you ever hide from me like that again." I said, "I thought you were drowning." It scared the bejesus out of me.
Oh. I get it. And I'm not being funny. She was playing a prank. And Jimmy, it's funny. You've just brought back a memory for me. I remember hiding in a clothes rack in a shop when I was a kid.
You shit of a kid.
Yeah, I do. It's just a childish thing.
Well, you know, the thing is, though, that I was so, I mean, the problem is it scared me to death.
I don't doubt it. As a parent, I've not remembered that until you mentioned that just then.
Yeah. So, and Sean, thank just you for that. For the record, no. Sean, they did the same thing. They locked all the doors at the store when I said something, and she came out and she thought it was hilarious. Well, Daddy didn't think it was hilarious. Let me tell you.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. My brother took his son over his lap and banked him something shocking. He said, "Don't you ever do that again, because we thought you might have escaped the store and been hit by a car." Oh,
right. Well, I brought her home, and she could tell I wasn't happy, and I didn't. I never spanked her or hit her. I told her, "You're in your room for the rest of the night, and you're not to come out. You're not going to watch TV. You're not going to do anything. You're going to stay in your room, and you're going to think about what you did."
Yeah.
And I felt bad enough about that, you know.
But, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, they scare the hell out of you.
It does. It does. And it scares
me. They're being funny. You know, they think it's funny.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's a child thing to do. You know, children are strange things. By the way, I'm going to have to beep out a bad word I just made earlier. I said the S word. But what happens?
Oh.
Yeah, I said the S word. But here's the thing. Children are crazy that way when it comes to, like, you walk out and there's a, you know, like when your son or daughter's like 4 years of age and they've got their tongue on a PowerPoint and, you know, a power socket. And you're sort of like, what are you doing? Get away from that. You're going to electrocute yourself. You know, they do stupid things. And you've just got to deal with it the best way you know how. But
just to sort of add weight to what I was saying a second ago, the only reason I hid in a clothes rack as a child in a shop, right, I'm assuming must have been because I was just bored of shopping. But I remember what the thing that made me move is that a stranger came and started looking through the clothes in the rack that I was hid in. And I was like, "Oi, I'm bolting out of here."
This conversation is starting to remind me of the roads are for sleeping, not, or if the roads are for driving, not for sleeping.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so to let you know, Maleficus, I won't go into too much detail because it's a family hour, but the Aboriginals over here seem to think it's okay to sleep on the road in the desert. So when the truck drivers...
I'm aware. Yeah, I am aware.
Yeah.
From one of your previous broadcasts.
I'll leave it there. But yeah.
I just heard that the other day again, and I said, you know... I laughed. That's the second time I heard it. That's the second time I literally laughed out loud over the... They had to produce an ad to tell adults not to go to sleep on the road in the desert. It's unbelievable.
Yes. Yeah.
Did they
true.
Not have a don't sniff petrol from a can as well?
Yeah.
I heard that. Yeah. I did hear that one too, yeah.
Yeah, don't sniff petrol from... So what they do at the moment is they line... Oh, well, I'm not going to go into detail. This is a family show. But anyway, I think we've got time for one more clip, Jimmy and Maleficus. Let's have a listen to this one. How a 10-year-old scared off a stranger. This is good for kids to know. So you parents get to know this. How a 10-year-old scared off a stranger in her driveway.
She's only 10 years old, but she's already being called a hero after scaring away a suspected intruder. Megan Alexander talked with the little girl.
Hey, get out of here!
Quick thinking from this brave 10-year-old girl, as authorities say she foils an attempted burglary. Watch as Lola climbs in the passenger seat of her family's SUV parked in her driveway in Bakersfield, California. She turns the engine on to start the air conditioning. This guy casually walks up the driveway right into the open garage. So what did Lola do? She springs into action.
Hey, get out of here!
What were you thinking when you saw that guy come up your driveway?
I thought he might have been like someone selling something or someone coming to pick something up. And then when he walked into my garage with no one in there, I just kind of felt like he's not supposed to really be here.
The screams are enough to scare off the suspected intruder. There he goes.
How proud are you of your daughter?
Oh, I'm so proud. She has a lot of confidence, and I feel like that's what played a big role in that situation. It opens your eyes and shows everybody else what exactly could really happen in the blink of an eye.
Like they say, whatever Lola wants, Lola gets. In this case, this Lola, she got rid of a bad man.
Hey, get out of here!
Family says from now on, they will not let the kids wait in the car, but everyone will leave the house together.
So there you go. You know, kids can have an overpowering thing against the intruders, especially if it's a young girl that can scream with a high-pitched sound. Your heart
she'll
out.
She'll be in the movies. She'll be in horror movies when she's older.
Yeah.
The fact that she realized that somebody didn't belong in her garage, you know, that was a good thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows? You know, who knows if, you know, some other kid might just go like, oh well, you know.
Yeah, no, well, that's right. And you don't know whether he was going to burglarize something or just sort of hide in there and wait until one of the children came home from school. You wouldn't know. So, you know, one of the first things kids can do, even young boys can still squeal when they're young. Their voice hasn't broken. So scream your heart out. Scream your heart out and make perfectly sure that people are going to hear what's going on because it attracts attention.
Of course. Anything, yeah. Make noise, yell, scream, whatever you got to do.
Eye gouge, bite, scratch if they pick you up or anything like that. Absolutely.
That's right.
There's no doubt about it. We've come to the end of the show. We've come to the end of the show, ladies and gentlemen.
I know. I realize that. We're coming to the top of the hour. Look, I have to apologize. I didn't catch the show till like 7:30 of my time. And I didn't know if you were live or not. And so one of these days I'll start from the beginning at 6 when you actually start it. Okay.
Yeah, no, that'd be cool, Jimmy. It's great to have you just calling in spontaneously like this. It's great. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Two's Company 3's The Lab, brought to you live by the one, the only WTFR, Maleficus Sentius. Adrian, we had Giuseppe Vafangulu, and we also have had Jimmy X call in. It's just great to have you all.
7.9 FM.
We will talk to you very soon.
And 1650 AM, Tonawanda, New York.
Haven't you heard of La Happy Merchant?
La Happy Merchant?
Yes, La Happy Merchant.
La Happy Merchant.
Yes, La Happy Merchant. The one with the really big hook nose. The one that runs around with the banking dynasties under the false title known as the Federal Reserve Bank. La Happy Merchant. The same La Happy Merchant that was once known as the goldsmith that invented the corrupt idea of fractional reserve banking.
La Happy Merchant. Lead me to this Le Happy Merchant so that we can make him not so happy.